Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Hey,
and welcome to another episode of the Balls Deep Sports, the number one sports podcast on all of the Black Autism Premium Network. It's also the only one, but that doesn't matter when you're talking about rankings. Today is a day like every other day, except we're doing it on a Thursday at a different time. Because Justin's got to go to a heterosexual wedding this right. weekend, so everyone should approve.
All straight, everything.
What's going on, my man, Jay Trill?
I feel like I walked into the rabbit hole. I don't know what to expect. You was in here jamming, got your drinks on deck.
Mm-hmm. You know what's up.
Karen Hill, she said, fuck work.
Right, fuck work.
This coriander orange appeal, white unfiltered wheat beer. Harpoon's unfiltered offering is the best shit ever.
That's
dog.
Right. No oh, black shit, Twitter. No some. Black Twitter. Anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm fucking with this beer. This shit was like a dollar off. I'm now fucking with this.
Oh yeah. Anything he'll sell is good. Just about.
We also have a person that was able to play some hooky, sneak her way onto the podcast again. It's Karen from the Blackout Tips and Lip Smacking Good. What's going on, Karen?
How y'all doing?
Glad to have you on today's gayest episode of Balls Deep Sports.
Come yeah. on.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
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 Slay. I'm going to drop so much shade today.
Oh, Lord.
Feel the tea.
Be sipping the tea everywhere.
You're going to be tossing the tea.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to give somebody a read today.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. It's getting super gay in here.
Well, should I? I'm gonna keep my pants on.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, within True Blood confines of gay, you know, we won't be naked. All right, nobody's gonna actually do anything really gay. Duh. I don't want anybody to quit the show. We know how.
Well, why you got the lube out then?
You know how a certain person feels about quitting the show. You know, if it gets a little too gay for him, not pointing any fingers at anybody.
I'm just saying, it's my right.
Yeah. As a podcaster.
Yeah, you know how folks like to quit and, you know, talking about it wasn't in their contract.
Right.
I mean, I did have my lawyer work hard for this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't read the fine print.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's in there. All right, let's play the song.
Date. You know how when I go in the ball pit of Cheesy Charlie's and I sink
all the way to the bottom
and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right there.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep.
Is that a One Piece?
I'm talking about
yes, it is.
Balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about a hump positive traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate. Hey, Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just to tipping. Thank you, Scotty Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much
of your gang related ass.
Yeah, what's wrong with your head and the waves? Well, I'm talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep in love. Yeah, man.
You know, I can watch that video a lot. It's every time I see something different. Like, that's my first time seeing Junior with the One Piece as he dove into the right. Ball pit.
I need to find us a better version of it because, you know, like, we have the, you know, that version is, like, recorded from a TV. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if we can find remixes and shit because, you know, people do a lot of shit on.
Oh, I bet you.
Oh, this is even worse. Damn, that's like somebody literally holding the phone to their TV. Wow, that is really bad. What about this version? This looks like it was done by somebody. Dad,
it's not just superficial.
What?
I'm in love.
So he in the studio recording himself.
You know, when I go into the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and sink all the way down
this
to the bottom.
This nigga has a keyboard and a mic. And he's taking it so serious. I'm gonna put this in the chat.
That deep. I'm talking about balls.
Ah! Oh!
I like that.
I wasn't sure if he was holding his balls with the other hand. It's not on camera.
Yo, he actually got, first of all, yeah, you're right. Where is his other hand? But, you know, he actually got the real lyrics. Like, cause you know, our version does skip like 10 seconds. Cause there's a part where he's like, I want to have sex with a personality. You make love to a positive trait. Like, there's all that's missing. And some of the Scottie Pippen is missing too. Let me see if he got it all. Yeah.
Sex with a personality, try hump her positive traits, put a pound into her feelings, make herself mouth salivate. Hey, Tyra, are you listening?
He didn't hit that laugh though. He needed, you gotta hit that. It's not the same without it.
I'm not talking, just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
No problem. Players in my day didn't make as much as they used to today.
I'm talking about balls.
Well, fuck you then, nigga.
I'm talking about balls. We're talking about balls deep in love. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Man, I like that.
I'm saving that, man. That might be for the remix days.
I like that.
I like, yeah, that was pretty dope.
I can't believe he was so serious, but then he joked it at the end.
Yeah, he did. He did. He took it. He was singing it like he was wanting to make love to somebody.
He did have somebody in mind when he was singing it.
It's not just superficial. I'm deep in love.
What is this, whole shit?
You know how when I go in the ball pit of Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's Black right.
Why they put the DJ drop in there? Why did he fuck it up? It was going perfect. And he really had to drop his whack ass, whatever label it was.
Right.
A remix. Nigga gonna rap on it or something?
Apparently so.
Wow.
I'm talking about.
Niggas
I'm
got too much time about, on I'm their hands.
I'm talking about.
Oh my god. I'm waiting for them to fuck it up with a horrible vulgar rap.
I was waiting for the gunshots.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a remix to you.
About
your,
to get
gunshots.
Balls deep up in your asshole. Like something to fuck it up.
I like that beat though.
We got buff niggas going deep. We got Mexican niggas going deep. We got dog niggas going deep.
Niggas sound like Michael Jackson.
Right. Oh shit,
that
changed the beat.
Oh my god,
that's so terrible. This remix is terrible.
I hate this remix. That's not, I'm not saving that one.
That remix is terrible.
You, say, you might have to try another one.
I don't understand how they had the music so clear, but then had the words muffled.
Yeah,
that's bad producing.
That was pretty damn horrible. I'm talking about.
Nope.
Another recording of the TV, man.
And the TV kept moving.
Yeah, like you can't even hold the camera still, man. Like,
well, what is this? Terrible ass recordings.
Somebody made a balls deep X-ray version.
It's not just superficial. I'm deep in love.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit of Cheesy Charlie's?
Oh, this might
and
be
I
a better version.
All the way down to the bottom, and you can't find me.
That deep?
That's right, Dad. I'm talking about
it's missing some bass though, dog. It don't got that soul.
Yeah.
I need that full effect, man. I'm deleting that one. I was trying to use it.
Yeah, we don't want that one.
Might have to use my man remix, dog. Y'all might just heard the new official song, man.
See, Dad, it's not just superficial.
Yeah, like who does the audio for these? Plug your TV into the fucking thing. Is it that hard? Am I tripping?
No, you're not.
Oh my goodness, man.
The standards are not high.
Yeah.
It's not just superficial.
No. This is terrible. All right, that's enough. I'm not going to subject y'all to any more of this.
I like that Saturday Night Love remix.
Yeah. I wonder what that dude Twitter is. He didn't put it on the. It's not on his.
I didn't
on
see
his
it.
YouTube page, is it?
I didn't see it. We could look at it after.
He
the
probably
show.
Got all type of videos of remakes.
Y'all ever like heard that. The? Y'all watch American Dad?
Yep.
Did you ever see the one where about the hot tub and then Steve and Roger did a '90s video called "Daddy's Gone"?
Mm-hmm.
Put this one in the chat, dog. This joint's so good. This is why y'all listen to Balls Deep.
When are we going home, big bro?
Been 3 hours since I saw you walk away from me.
My jam.
I didn't know the way and I didn't have the words to speak. But all I knew was Daddy's gone. Not going home ever again.
That's the real.
In the video, Steve was ripped. Like, it's, you know, it's for the video. Roger was too. They was in the desert singing with no shirts on.
Right.
We knew we were gonna find another father like you.
Now we won't, now we won't, now we won't.
Oh, Daddy, we're crying.
This is because of you.
I see you in my dreams at night.
Tell you, the music on American Dad is actually good.
Right.
Like, you really can't shit on the music on American Dad. I don't know why more people don't watch this show.
Don't they have one with CeeLo sing with the hot tub? That's one of my favorite ones. I don't know.
I'll see if I can find that one. Yeah, but that is one where he tells, where he's trying to get Francine to get in.
Right.
Go on, dip a toe.
Nah, they're doing new episodes because I only catch it on TBS.
It's on TBS permanently now. But it's all on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Talk, baby.
Yeah, don't worry so much. Just give the water a touch. Nobody has to know. And if the time is right, just let your mind ignite. Nobody has to know that you dip the toe. Dip, 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 dip the toe.
Oh, God.
Dip, 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 dip the toe.
Oh, yes.
No reason to hide. It's all the way inside. I'm a chicken for a ride.
Oh.
Dip, 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 dip the toe.
Oh, God.
Dip, 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 dip the toe.
Oh, yes.
No reason to hide. Get all the way inside.
I think this is the remix of it.
For a ride.
Yeah, this isn't the original thing.
And watch us blast off.
Something this
going on beneath the water. People getting hot and making sons and daughters. It's just you and
people make it so nasty.
And L-U-V and the T-U-V. Bubbles in the tub, bubbles in the glass. Fig in
my
mouth
and my fingers in your
ass.
Egypt?
It's Mount Rushmore.
Giving you a hickey over the mighty Mississippi. Sucking on your toe over downtown Tokyo. We're doing this dance over Paris, France.
Come bury me over Germany.
We're going all the way, cause it's not a race. We can take it slow into outer space. It's just you and me.
Great.
We can take it slow.
You know the best part of this show too is that CeeLo is actually in studio for the show, so sometimes they just cut to him for reaction shots in the middle of the song.
Mm-hmm.
He just like something will happen in the episode. He'll be like, "Cause I'm about to kill your family." He'll be like, "Oh damn!" And then he just cut back to the regular episode. Anyway, all right, we've done this enough. Let me get into the show. Yeah, this is Balls Deep. We have, some comments from the last few episodes. Woo-hoo! I think I've been forgetting to read them, which is my bad. sorry guys. Nell210S said, hey, Balls Deep crew, a listener sent an email asking what will be the decision for the summer since the dog days of baseball are in. I'm sure you guys could talk baseball and be entertaining, but I pray that you guys don't. Well, don't worry about that.
we won't. Not unless they do something just newsworthy. Don't worry.
Baseball has never interested me. Speaking of baseball, I have a question. Do you consider baseball a real sport? I believe it is what I consider a skill sport, not a sport that uses a lot of athleticism. My friends and I had this discussion. I want to know your opinion.
I consider it a real sport.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
One, that shit, just the idea of standing in front of a 90 mile an hour anything is scary as fuck to me.
Right.
And you have to be an athlete to hit that.
And then when it's coming back at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the entire, like I broke a girl's finger playing baseball once. Actually, it might have even been softball we were playing, and I broke her finger because I hit the ball and she wasn't paying attention, and that shit hit her right on top of her hand and broke that shit. That's a sport. You know what I mean? Like, that's dangerous.
Yeah, and then they got 3,000 games in a year. You know.
Yeah, and from home plate to first base, you running. It's an all-out sprint as fast as you can.
Yeah, and you do have to be athletic to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, I think what happens is that there's a mix. There's some guys who aren't that athletic in the ways that we measure athletes in other sports. Like,
right.
Prince Fielder, probably not the fastest nigga in the world, but Prince Fielder can probably bench press your house, too, though. Like, yep. He's still an athlete. It's just depends on how you want. And not everybody's like Prince Fielder. There's a lot of dudes that, maybe they're not as strong as him, but they're faster than him. And, you know, I definitely consider it a sport.
Right. And something y'all might like, I found out from Nick and Reggie, they have a player called LJ Hoes. Like, that's his name.
Oh, yeah. I know about luxurious, juicy hoes.
Yes. LJ Hoes, that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and being able to throw the ball from outfield to infield.
Yeah, not to mention being able to pitch. I mean, motherfuckers tear their arms apart. Mm-hmm. Like, what hobby you know that shit happens? Like, you know, that's more than just a skill, I would say, man. Because I guess all sports have skills involved in it, whether it's basketball, football, baseball. But I don't get into the hierarchy of dissing people because they use a different level of athleticism than someone else. Like, I don't shit on people for being kickers.
Me either.
Because it's extremely fucking hard. Like,
right.
Dudes be like, oh, the fucking kicker. I hate the kicker. Yeah, until he nails a fucking 60-yard field goal to win the game. Then all of a sudden you love him. Then it's right. Oh, I love kickers now.
Like, can you do that?
Because it's fucking hard.
And baseball players are deceptively huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these be some big-ass dudes. And a lot of times you don't realize it because they play other sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they play basketball, and it'll be the 6'4 dude that, you know, you be like, damn, you should play, you should be playing on the team. Like, nah, I play baseball.
Yeah.
You look at them like, what? Would it be this big ass dude? Like, they just.
Not to mention, how many athletes do you know that were crossover sports? Like, a lot of cats play basketball, football, and then baseball, so they still have something going in the spring
mm-hmm.
when the other two sports aren't going. And I knew a lot of athletes like that. So it was like, you know, this dude's a top quality athlete year round. He's doing something. And then, baseball is no exception.
Yeah, and also I think too that a lot of people downplay or disregard sports if it's some shit that they don't like. They just assume that it's not athletic or not physical enough because it's some shit that they don't care about. But it does not mean that it doesn't require some form of skill set. And my thing is this: if everybody can't goddamn do it, it's a motherfucking sport. I mean, I hate to be like that. Like, your average person can't do this shit.
The main thing about baseball is because it's not. While it's popular, it's not popular with everyone. And that's because a lot of baseball players for many, many years was dominated by a particular race, and it didn't have a lot of flavor to it. And black, I think, especially for African Americans, you know, we even created our own league because that's how popular it was for us at one point. But once we left baseball alone, it stopped being popular in the nation as a whole, I believe.
And I don't think left baseball. I think that and Roger talked about this, when it comes to football, when it comes to basketball, they go and target our children. You don't see people targeting our children for soccer. You don't see the people talking about children for baseball. They don't go after them at an early age. Like, you know, these children could go into these other sports if they really wanted these athletes in their sports.
I mean, when you think about the three born sports, it's really the sports that African Americans don't dominate, which is hockey, baseball, and soccer. And even golf to a particular, up until Tiger came along, black people really weren't fooling with golf unless they was old men. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, and like I said, that's mainly, I think, because African Americans don't do it. And we typically dominate what's considered popular culture, whether it's music, sports, even entertainment when it comes to TV and movies.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting that, you know, on the eve of Michael Sam trying to make an NFL team, that baseball does kind of come up because a lot of people been comparing it to Jackie Robinson, and everybody's been doing the dick measuring contest of, it's not the same as Jackie. I mean, Jackie was getting called nigger to his face. We call him fag in private, so it's different. I think baseball is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think it counts. I think it's very difficult. I don't know that. I don't really get into the measuring of what's the hardest sport, who has the best athletes and all that shit normally, just because I don't think it matters that much. But nope. I just find it not to be that appealing for me. It's kind of boring. Even when people talk about going to the game, they normally talk about, well, it's good because you're drinking and you're doing all kinds of shit. But I'm like, I could just do that at a bar, do that at home.
Everything like, but watching the game.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't say like, cause you need to see it in, like, I'll tell you something that you need to see in person. And it's too late for all y'all, but, Allen Iverson play.
Yes.
And I didn't go, well, you need to go to a Hornets game so you can hang out with all the friends and all that shit. It was like, no, if you see Allen Iverson play, it gives you a completely different respect for what he does.
It just doesn't
translate on TV well, no matter how much you think you get it.
Right.
You just don't get it till you watch this nigga run circles around the other nine people on the floor while crashing into everything. Like, you know, I remember when I used to watch it on TV, I'd be like, damn, this nigga get all the fucking calls. I hate him. And then when I seen it in person, I was like, oh, because he gets fouled every play.
Right.
He just don't care. He just runs in there. They fuck him up because he's small as shit. It don't take much to fuck up a little dude. And they don't even call, but maybe 50% of the ones they could call for him, maybe, on a good night. And you're like, yeah, this dude is amazing.
You know what's crazy is Allen Iverson and I are probably the same height and size.
He's shorter than you.
He's like 6'1".
No. When you see him in person,
yes,
you realize that's bullshit. He's like 5'8" and 5'10". Oh, okay.
Among trees, like, cause when me and Roderick seen him, it was like this little short dude and like trees.
Cause they always listed him as like 6 feet, 6'1".
Right. That's the thing that makes, like I said, but you have to see it in person. I say the same thing for LeBron James. People think that it comes across on TV. It doesn't, because you're watching him isolated on camera, typically away from other players. When you just see him line up at the free throw line and you realize he's as big as a power forward or center, you're like, oh my God, it's impossible to stop him. Like,
take that charge for who?
Right. Like,
for what?
Yeah, it's like the only reason you can stop him is because he's interested in other things. Like, oh, I want to pass. You know what? I'm going to shoot a three. Like, if he wasn't interested in those things and he was just like, I'm going to try to dunk every time, he'll shoot like 25 free throws a game because it's nothing you could do to stop him. Yeah. Or he would foul out with charges if you were brave enough to take a charge, which most people, when you see. Oh, and the other thing about LeBron James, it just can't be accounted for. He's fast as fuck.
Yes, he is.
It just doesn't register that him and Elton Brand are the same size, but he would beat Elton Brand up and down the court every single play. Before, you know, Elton Brand be at half court, LeBron already be like dunking.
Yeah, they doing suicides. Elton Brand still got a lap to go. he still got the full court to run. LeBron down right. there got the water in his already drinking.
Dude, when I seen AI in person, man, I was like, yo, who was that little kid?
Because that's
like, is this like Mike? Is this Bow Wow out here? He out there like me.
It'd be like me out there with the basketball players. Like that's how tall he looks compared to like the other athletes.
Yeah, now that to me is why you go see a sport in person. Another sport, you know, I don't like seeing in person, but a player I'm glad I got to see in person, Terrell Owens. I don't even like football in person. I think it's kind of better at home. But when you see what Terrell Owens can do to a DB, because he's fucking six whatever the fuck and just as fast as him.
And strong as hell.
Nigga, it was embarrassing. Like, he was really catching the ball. Like, this is the play they was running for the Cowboys against the Panthers that night. Because the Panthers had a pretty good team. And the Cowboys were having, like, a kind of down year. Nigga, they just came out and ran wide receiver screens and were getting down the field consistently. Because you can't guard, because they were playing, like, 10 yards off of T.O. so that he wouldn't beat them back door. So they would just throw the ball laterally to T.O., and then T.O. would run 5 yards. The dude would meet him, you know, to tackle him. And he would just push that nigga out of bounds. Like, every time. Like a big-ass bully. Like you know how when you're fighting a little kid, you can put your hand, like, on the top of their head, and they can't punch you?
Yep.
He was doing that to grown men. Like, nope, you can't tackle me, can't tackle me. And then right before the other dude come over to help tackle and hit him in the knee, he just walk out of bounds. 8 yards. They do the play, two play, then they run the ball 2 times, throw the ball to you, 8 yards. I was like, God damn, this nigga's killing. Like, yeah. And you only can really appreciate that in person, I think.
Yeah. And, another player that, I got to see live, Roger didn't go with me. I went with Chantel. It was a preseason game. I think it was like the first year, Cam, was our quarterback, and we went to go see Cam live. And it is nothing like it. Cam Newton, like, seeing him live, he is a beast. Mm-hmm. Like, people wonder, how can he run and how can he make all these touchdowns? Like, when you see how big that dude is out there, you will have a completely different understanding. And he's fast and he's quick.
Yeah, you're just sitting there like, oh, this is what a real quarterback looks like.
Right.
So that's how it's supposed to look when you're a bad motherfucker. So, yeah, baseball for me just, I don't get that feeling. And also, I think part of it is that it's just too damn hard because that's one of my things with sports that I don't like is, like soccer to me is a sport that's too hard to keep my interest because it's difficult and it's so difficult that it's amazing when they score. But if they don't score, you can't even hold it against them because it's fucking hard. Like, only use your hand, your head and your feet to score this. Like, that's, you could study your whole fucking life and you might not score. You know what I mean? So, that was, you know, in baseball where the odds of a good day, if you can hit 50% of what's like, if you can get something positive to happen when you get to the plate at a 50% clip, you're amazing.
And it's things about baseball too. I thought about it more when you was talking about baseball got too many rules. Mm-hmm. There are more rules. Like, in one league, the pitchers don't have to hit.
Right.
They have a designated hitter. Somebody can come in and hit for them. In the other league, the pitchers do have to hit. And their hitting average always sucks, which is kind of odd. You think as a pitcher, you'd be able to read the other pitchers that's coming to you.
Right.
Better than someone else. But they don't. They watch game film too, just like all the other sports. Some players, like Derek Jeter, he's not going to hit a lot of home runs, but you know what he's great at doing? Hitting the ball in between the gaps. And those players have to cover that field and get to those spots. Some players, they come in close. Some players, they go out deep. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a huge field. Like you said, if you had never been to a game, you don't really realize how big that field is.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I've been to, like, the minor league game. I've been to, like, a minor league game before. And I was bored immediately. Like, I was just like, this is too hard. Like, soon as, like, they threw the ball past the first, like, three niggas, and it was like, I was like, oh, damn, they didn't even get a hit. And my dad was like, yeah, this is kind of good, kind of interesting. And he started reading the paper. I was like, nigga, this is not interesting. Like, you're not going to trick me. This is not even good.
Yeah,
like,
you only watch for your team to see if they're going to hit a home run.
Right. I'd rather go fishing.
And when they don't hit a home run, you'd be mad. Like, well, that was boring.
Right.
And then what they doing?
Not to mention nothing worse than a fucking, I mean, I guess maybe a blowout soccer game, but a blowout baseball game is just as bad.
Yeah. And I think for me, and this has always been my biggest issue with baseball, they don't have no time. Like, I can't be up to 2 o'clock in the morning because I don't know when we go in this game because we tied forever. Like,
yeah.
And maybe that's just my personal thing, but I know we got quarters. I know it's so many minutes. I know at this, you know, we might go into overtime, but eventually somebody got to win or we call it a tie. Like, for me, I can't take the no clock.
And the other thing is, if y'all don't want us talking baseball, don't write us about baseball. We wouldn't have spent this much time
Yeah. I mean, we talked around it. We didn't talk a lot of baseball. Yeah. But yeah, it's not really my shit. Justin likes the Yankees.
Yeah, I do. I watch the Yankees.
Yeah, I barely like the Yankees. So, you know, like, I'm a complete bandwagon. Like,
I am too. I watch the World Series. That's about as much as you can get me.
Well, the only reason I fuck with the Yankees is because my boy is a Red Sox fan. And he was supposed, I was like, hey, man, can you teach me about baseball? Let's sit down and watch some of the World Series together. And they got down 3-1 or something, 3-0. 3-0. And he was like, nah, don't watch it. And I was like, come on, man, let's watch it together. And he was like, no, because they was down, I guess. And then they ended up winning it. He never invited me over to watch the game. So I told him, I'm going to be a Yankees fan then. Fuck the Red Sox.
But you would like the playoff aspect of it. It's like the shortest out of all the sports.
That's what everybody says, man. But I've tried. I would have to watch it with somebody that is into the shit.
Yeah.
Or else I couldn't do it. If I had to just try to watch it by myself, I'd change the channel.
Yep, me too.
Episode Balls Deep 61 last week. Mr. Jones 87 leaves us a comment. What's up, Rod and Jay Trill? Love Balls Deep Sports. I usually don't comment, but I am confused about this Kevin Love's Wigan trade. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Love not a free agent next season? So why the fuck would you dismantle a young talented core of players for a guy who would, in all likelihood, sign with you the following year? Like, that's what we're saying. I mean, I would wait. I don't know why these niggas are so pressed, but it wouldn't cost you shit to wait a year. Love is a stat sheet stuffer. I love his game and agree he would be a great fit on the offensive side of the ball, but Wiggins has tremendous potential. He can guard positions 1-3, and his weakness, ball handling and jump shooting, are two of the most fixable things in the basketball with practice and repetition. Yeah, everybody's jumper improves over time. Shout out to LeBron James. Yeah, Karen.
No, I'm just laughing, but yeah, that's true.
Everybody jumper. Everyone comes in with, if you don't come in as a great jump shooter, you still leave able to make an open shot. That's because it was your job and you can focus on it. Mm-hmm. And the team makes sure that they cover up your weaknesses. Very rarely can a dude not shoot his entire career.
It's only a few guys that come into the league and be like, that dude can shoot. JJ Redick.
Right. Josh McBuckets.
Yep. Curry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's it. Like Kyle Korver, maybe.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
just
mean?
Not. Yeah, it's not a ton. Even those dudes get better. You know what I mean? Anthony Morrow, obviously, but even those dudes get better as time goes on because it's a skill that you're repeating all the time. So yeah, saying Wiggins doesn't have a jumper right now is like saying LeBron didn't have a jumper, in my opinion. You know, like it still doesn't mean he's tradable. Not to mention, like, people keep telling me, like, well, without Kevin Love, I expect him to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. With Kevin Love, I expect him to go to the Finals and lose. Then I'm not doing a trade.
That's the same position.
Yeah, unless you're telling me that they are going to fucking win the title this year, to me, it's no point in making this trade. But they're pressed to do it. People are saying this is what LeBron wants, which is another red flag why you shouldn't do it. But good luck, niggas. Good luck.
And just like we talked about, unless you're preparing for who you think is going to come out of the West, which people, because the Spurs won it last year, they're looking at the Spurs again, which would be 3 years in a row for them. Like, you got to prepare for the Spurs.
Yep.
And if you're preparing for anybody else, between the Spurs and Oklahoma City, I don't know who you'd be preparing for.
And you telling me with the Spurs, you won't need the defense of Wiggins to guard some of these wing players?
Kawhi Leonard?
Right. Are you just going to put LeBron on everybody? I mean, because last time I checked, that was the problem. Anybody that LeBron wasn't checking was getting the fuck off.
Yep.
Except for that one time when Kawhi Leonard actually got off on LeBron.
But he was already on fire. What can you do?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I'm not blaming LeBron. I'm saying this is even bigger reason why you need Wiggins. Like, you need someone that can defend the perimeter, because best case scenario, the nigga that LeBron is on is shut down, but the other dude's getting off.
That's why Tony
Worst Allen, case scenario, LeBron man getting off and these niggas getting off, and it's not even a good game.
That's why Tony Allen consistently has a job.
Yeah.
Like, say what you want, but he'll get a job just because he can check Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And yep. Who else, then, at that point, if you don't have somebody that can check Kevin Durant, what are you doing then? You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you're going to lose at that point.
So, yeah, he says Cleveland needs to really think about this before they give up these players. As good as Kevin Love is, he has problems staying healthy. And I love, and I feel, yeah, no one's bringing that up, by the way. I brought that up the other day, like, yo, y'all know Kevin Love's never played 82 games in the season. And some idiot was like, Andrew Wiggins has never played 82 games in the season either. Are you stupid? He hasn't been in the NBA in or this. He's never had an opportunity to play 82 games.
Yep, so, he looked pretty healthy to me in summer league.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about being risk averse, one has a proven track record of not being able to finish a season, and one doesn't. We just gonna ignore that? I remember when Bynum tried to get that money from L.A. L.A. had to be like, dog, you had one good season.
Yep.
Like, you came right back down to normal after that. We can't be giving you a whole lot of money as I'm going to Philly, where he played 7 seconds.
It was like, bye?
Yeah.
And people were so mad at him for leaving. I was like, no, he can go.
All right.
He has one good knee, maybe.
Yeah, we got between both of his knees, if you put them together, you might get a knee out of it.
Yep.
So he says, yeah, he has a problem staying healthy, and I feel like he has possibility of being to LeBron James what Dwayne Wade was to him in Miami, a good player who relies heavily on Bron to do everything. I think the team Cleveland has now, they are in a great position to win the East and in the following year add Love and win a couple chips. Sorry for the length of this, but this shit has been bothering me for a minute. Keep up this awesome show, and oh, fuck Shabazz Napier, old light-skinned ass.
Oh, shit, dog.
Then he writes, no offense, Justin, petty. And he put petty nigga. I don't know if he meant pretty nigga, but he put petty nigga. So
I think he referring to Shabazz being petty.
Yeah, he was petty for following LeBron and trying to act like he didn't know what that meant.
And he was, but him being light-skinned ain't got nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
That's just the way he was raised.
Light skin only has something to do with the good stuff, according to Justin.
But I'm sure that dude that wrote the letter, he's been sick all week because that's all they've been talking about all summer. And that's all they'll talk about till Love does get traded. Mm-hmm. Cleveland has to. I don't know how they don't see what happened to New York and be like, this is not a good idea for us. Mm-hmm. We can't make this trade because when New York did the same thing for Melo, you didn't get anything. I mean, yes, you'll get to keep LeBron, but you're trading away everything else that LeBron has to work with. And it's one of the reasons Miami was like, people looked at Miami this year like, well, what they going to do?
Yep.
It'll be the same situation again, only he'll have Ray Allen and Mike Miller back there. And you don't need Mike Miller if you got Kevin Love, and you don't need Kevin Love if you already got Mike Miller. Like, they like the same player, basically. Mac Miller is out there to stretch the floor and not play defense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming they can put him on the bench, or when Kevin Love gets hurt like he always does, they can, like, let him play some more minutes. But I don't even understand the idea of Cleveland trying to get all these old-ass shooters.
They should have went and got Powell while he was available.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing I heard, too. Dan Levitard yesterday was saying, like, he was talking to Wojnarowski or whatever for Yahoo, and he was like, do you think LeBron took so long to decide, he messed up the Heat's plans for the offseason and they weren't able to really go out and get people? And I was like, well, couldn't you make the same argument for Cleveland? I mean, he waited a while to decide to where that's your only move you're able to make. Not to mention all those moves happened. That's your fault for not having a backup plan.
Right.
But yeah, I think that me personally, I will wait. I don't see a reason to rush into this shit. That's what fucks you up, is playing like, acting like you don't have time to build. And it's the difference between building a title contender for the next 6 years with LeBron James or building a title contender for the next 2 years and possibly and already saying you don't expect to win one the first year. So what happens next year when you're stuck? When LeBron James is opting out of his contract to see if he can get more money. Hopefully to stay, right? Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin Love might not sign with y'all.
Well, no. They want to sign Kevin Love to a long-term deal. To me, that's scarier. I would rather sign Kevin Love to a 2-year deal. And then, and if it don't work out, I can always promise LeBron we'll bring in somebody else. Like, oh, well, it didn't work, but hey, don't worry, LeBron, we can get something else. I don't want to commit to Kevin Love for 5 years and then at the end of 2, you're like, damn, we didn't win shit, LeBron. So you coming back?
I just wouldn't. I would prefer to commit to him basically because I need to know he is going to commit to our team if we trading away assets for him. You know what I mean? But I get what you're saying in the aspect that you stuck with him and LeBron. Like, I don't like this dude. Yeah. He got to go.
Personally, I don't think he's good enough to help you win a championship by himself.
No.
So that's where I'm at. Now, hopefully they prove me wrong. Kevin Love is fucking putting up the same exact numbers with LeBron that he was putting up without LeBron. They're an unstoppable force when you add in the point guard dude from Duke. And I'm sitting around going, man, why was I even concerned? I hope that's what happens because everybody knows I love me some LeBron and I like when he make him mad. And I don't think anything will make him madder than him going to Cleveland, actually winning that ring for everybody, and turning it into a dynasty and making people get sick of Cleveland.
And Kyrie's the dude you're talking about. The other thing with him is I don't know if he's Jared Wallace, and I like Jared Wallace. You know, I thought he was a dude when he was with the Bobcats. But you point out a great point. Jared Wallace is a dude that when he's the only person on the team, he can't get you 18 points a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's not a star.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you put him on a team with other stars, he disappears. Yeah. You don't even recognize that he's there. And I don't, with Kyrie being the only dude on the Cavs, is he that Jared Wallace and you don't know it because there's no one else that's been there on that team?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of faith in Kyrie. And I think it's mostly because, when I watch him, the skills I see on display feel like they would translate to wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
see, you actually watch the Cleveland game. I'm not watching. I might watch him now because LeBron on the squad. Like even during the playoffs, I watched the Heat games and that was it. You know what I mean?
I mean, like I heard people say shit like Kyrie Irving can't shoot, but when I watch the games, I'm like, if you leave him open, he hitting it. I mean, I don't know maybe I'm looking at the wrong stats or some shit, but it looked like you should not leave that nigga open, which is the only qualification in my book, the eye test for if you can shoot or not. If you leave me open, I will knock this down. That's it. Not to mention, I've seen him cross niggas up and shoot that shit from like 4 feet behind the 3-point line and give it to him in their face. Like, he good. Like, he's never had to play with anybody. I think he will defer to LeBron. I think LeBron is a perfect teammate because LeBron can play off the ball and be the finisher at times and not have to worry about running the offense. I worry more about Kevin Love than Kyrie, honestly. Just because I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure. And I think all the shit that they're looking for from Kevin Love is only so many baskets to go around, man.
The other thing is, you kind of have to trade their number one draft pick now. Like, you have to because Andrew is just like Powell. And all them years the Lakers kept toying with him, trying to trade him, it just kept fucking with his game.
Yeah.
At
this point, I want the trade to happen because it's not fair to Wiggins.
Yep.
It's just not because no matter what, watch if they don't make the trade during the summer before the season. Watch when we're in November or October and they're doing the side by side comparison of what Wiggins is doing compared to what Love is doing. And they won't care about losses. They won't care about who's contending for the playoffs.
Right.
It's just going to be, wow, Andrew Wiggins only played 17 minutes tonight and scored 6 points. Meanwhile, Kevin Love, who you know the Cavs could get, averaged 27 in the month of November. It's like they're gonna make it so like you have to see like everything Wiggins does is wrong.
Yeah, whereas before they would have just been comparing him to Jabari Parker.
Yep.
It would have just been those comparisons,
and even might have been less more forgiving than that, because it could have been on some like. Yeah, Jabari Parker's rookie of the year, but Andrew Wiggins is on a 60-win team.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been more like, oh, yeah, it's cool, though. It's not like he's a bust because he's contributing to wins with defense and hustle and blah, blah, blah. Now it's going to be why he's averaging 18. I mean, Jabari averaging 15 and a half. I mean, you playing with LeBron, you can't even average 10. You know, like, it's going to happen no matter what happens. So, I wouldn't do it. All right, so Lionel says, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Lionel?
much shorter email this week. First off, That in-depth Kevin Love convo was exceptional. Y'all niggas covered that like Darrell Revis in his prime. Y'all had all the angles covered, and you did it with the knowledge of what I'd expect from NBA analysts that make seven figures on ESPN, but I can't get. I only can add one thing. Now, you know that's how I praise from Lionel.
Okay. We appreciate that, Lionel.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Because last time.
You added a lot. You had a lot of angles to add. This time you said, I only thought of one thing. When you look at Love and Wiggins at their best, Love is a less athletic Chris Bosh. That's no disrespect. That's a great player, but not a game changer. Yeah, that's the other thing that's been happening too. I can't wait. I'm adding up my agendas this season, and I got quite a few going. And one of them is secretly Chris Bosh coming back to Chris Boshness.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell everybody, like, and that's why the fuck he was good.
Right, because people forgot he was up in Canada balling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he added something different to his game.
Yo,
like he added a 3-pointer that you have to respect now.
Mm-hmm.
You can. That's like LeBron when he added the post moves. It's like, nigga, what are we gonna do now?
Right. What's the plan when this nigga is at? Like, that's the thing about Chris Bosh. Like, not very many players can add a 3-point shot for a couple years. Yeah. Like,
can you see Tim Duncan adding it to his game?
Yeah, like, oh yeah, I just need to add this. What do y'all want me to do? Hey, we want you to start shooting threes and hang around outside. All right. No problem, man. Well, anything else y'all need? Nah, that's it, buddy. And he gets it done. Mm-hmm. You know, and then people just assume like, oh, well, he's terrible. I mean, mm-hmm. he only, like, listen to this, dog. In Toronto, this nigga was averaging, this nigga had 22.5, 22.6, 22.3, 22.7, 24. Then he went to Miami averaging 18.7, 18, 16.6, and 16.2. Motherfuckers really think that he's that 16.2 guy now.
Yep. No, he did that because that's what they asked of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he was the, like you say, he went from being the number one option to the 3 option, sometimes 4.
Right.
And still giving you 16. And don't even forget about the rebounds. Like, mm-hmm. that's not including the rebounds. That's not even including the defensive stops. He take charges. Like, he does all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they asked him to shoot those threes, man. And he's a dude that did not shoot. Look, in Toronto, he never shot more than 49 in one season. He shot the rest of this time, 14, 10, 13. 35, 25, 22, 25. Well, no, 25 was the first year in Miami. By the end of his Miami career, his last season, he shot 218 3-pointers because that's what they wanted.
Ooh.
Like that, you know what I mean? Like, they were like, this is the thing we want you to start doing. Meanwhile, he actually ended up shooting 34% from 3, which for a big man, pretty fucking impressive.
that's the same numbers that you was getting from Kevin Love, from a dude that wasn't part of his game. That's right. Always been part of Kevin Love game, and he giving you the same number?
While keeping his field goal percentage at 51.6%. Shooting all them goddamn threes.
Mm-hmm.
He's just gonna go back to not shooting threes and probably start busting people's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And
going
occasionally.
That's ain't going through the free throw line.
Yeah, and occasionally he'll have the three just as an option if he wants it. Like, this time down the court, I'm gonna shoot a three.
The other thing is, you can run ISOs for him at the top, at the 3-point line. Because mm-hmm. He does have the dribbling skills to go around his man, or he can pull for that three, and you have to come out and defend it. Like, yeah. You have to respect it.
Like I'm kind of surprised that LeBron didn't ask him to come to Cleveland with him. Or maybe he did, and he was like, no, I'm good.
It's like,
it's a possibility.
I'm getting this max.
Yeah.
He was like,
I make more money here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm sure LeBron told, because he did. They did talk about LeBron telling them when they had that meeting before they opted out. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, there's no guarantee I'm coming back. Like, it's a high opportunity I'm leaving. And I'm sure he told them the same thing Kobe tell all them other boys. Get your money.
Yo, Kevin Love shot 500 threes last year.
Wow.
500? What? How is that possible?
He didn't play inside.
Good grief.
That's why I was saying before.
And his field goal percentage is way lower. Bosh's was like 52%. His is 45.7 field goal percentage.
Well, that's why I was saying he could play small forward. because yeah. he shoots so much from the outside.
Jesus.
But he does become that liability, like you said, where he can't check anybody. And he yeah. can't check the other small
forwards.
Not
shooting 500 threes, you ain't checking nothing.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, on the offensive end, like, if he'd have went to the Clippers, that you wouldn't have to remove Blake or Jordan because you would put him at small forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't trust it, dog. I don't trust this shit, bro. Something ain't right. So.
I still don't think he'll. The other thing is, man, I don't. Even if you wait a year, I don't know that I want him. Like, can we get Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get, you know what I mean? Like,
By the way, Bosch gave you 78 blocks last year. Kevin Love gave you 35.
Wow.
All right. Anyway, this is what y'all think y'all need to do.
Can we get Joakim Noah? The Bulls don't want him.
Yeah.
You know, like
he'd
those.
He'd be defending somebody up.
Those are good pickups for Cleveland, I think. You know what I mean? Like, just yeah. guys like that. Get those guys. Like, you don't need. Love is not necessarily what you need for that team.
I wouldn't give up the farm for Love. I don't give a fuck if LeBron wanted or not. I tell him straight up, dog, the cost is too high and we like the people we picked.
Cause he can't.
We would like to see them play with you and see if this at least helps to, for at least half a season. Like, can we at least get a half a season y'all playing together?
Yeah, he can't help check Westbrook.
Yeah.
He can't help check Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even playing help defense to help you check them.
Right.
Right now, you can still put your number one draft pick on mm-hmm. either one of those guys, and it'll make a difference during the game.
And in Minnesota, if I'm them, I'm forcing the shit out of this trade. I rush the shit. Oh, yeah, sure. No problem, man. Well, y'all want Kevin Love? Mm-hmm. Okay. We want all your number one picks and some more from next year. Give me Miami pick.
Right, so you're just killing the future.
Yep, they're so confident right now. They actually told Cleveland, "We want you to find a home for Kevin Martin and JJ Barea." What? like, because they know that you can't afford them. They want you to find the other team to take the whack niggas. Like, wow. I would just wait till January to even discuss this trade.
Right,
and Rubio is the one they need to be trading.
Yeah, nobody want him.
How much sense does that make?
Send him back to, where is he from? Spain? Send him back to Spain.
Can't.
How you going to tell me you find somewhere for these niggas to live? What?
Right. We signed two bad contracts. Can you fix this?
Because when they called Cleveland, everybody else was going to voicemail the first time they called.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But Cleveland answered on the first ring
mm-hmm.
and was like, oh, hey, boo. I mean, hey. Hey, Flip, how you doing?
They answered the what you doing text with nothing before the text was even all the way done.
Yep. like they was like, I'm glad you called. Yeah. I was sitting here by the phone waiting on you to call.
They got a text that said, hey, and then they replied, nothing. And then the next text was, oh, I was going to ask what you doing. Nothing. I said nothing. You coming over?
Yep. Which one of our players you want? Everybody but LeBron and Kyrie. Everybody else can go.
Anybody. So he said, that's a great player, but not a game changer. With Wiggins, you have a guy who can be an elite defender. LeBron has never had the liberty of letting another guy guard the other team's best perimeter guy. Great point. That helped Jordan thrive. That was my thing.
Yep.
I said, what if Wiggins is his Pippen? And then we all fucking up trying to think about the great white hype in Kevin Love. Jordan always had Pippen to guard the other team's best perimeter threat. That's when the Bulls started winning, and that's what could both prolong LeBron's career and get him rings. Love ain't got shit for you when the Spurs get out there and light it with them light-skinned three-point shooters.
And light your ass up.
But, according to Justin, light skin has nothing to do with three-point shooting ability. okay. That's just people like the rest of us.
Exactly.
But Wiggins could. So, yeah, that's my two cents. Y'all covered everything else. Oh, and thank you guys for talking about the Cavs acquiescing to LeBron's demands. That shit didn't work then. It won't work now. You pay a GM and scouts. Make them go do their job. All right, fellas, peace. Yeah, you can't let LeBron the default GM. I don't give a fuck what the contract says. Because at the end of the day, if he leaves, what you going to do then?
Right.
Oh, look like they do now.
Look stupid.
Go get the number one draft pick 4 years in a row.
Could you imagine if he left after 2 years? And all they had left was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
And you done gave all your future number one draft picks away. Come on, dog.
Because Ray Allen gone.
Yeah, all them old niggas gonna leave. And don't let don't let Andrew Wiggins be somewhere balling. Don't let it happen. Do not let it happen, dog. Do not let it be Kyrie and Kevin Love and LeBron that went somewhere else. And every night on SportsCenter is Andrew Wiggins dunking on a nigga.
Because when Garnett was there, they were still going to the playoffs in Minnesota. So
he not KG.
So Kevin Love don't have the excuse of, well, you know, we in the top division.
It was a legit argument. Kevin Garnett was the best player in the NBA when he was on them losing on them squads that were going to the playoffs and losing. It was a legit argument. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I necessarily agree.
Right, but it was balling.
It was a reason he was the highest played player in the NBA. Because if you watch the game, you'd be like, this nigga doing everything for these fools. Yep. Kevin Love, I don't see a dude doing everything. I see a dude getting his.
And that's why Flip told him to shut the fuck up and sit down.
Yeah.
Demanding these trades. We'll trade you if we won't.
You don't talk like that to actual franchise players. You talk like that to dudes where you like, man, he leaving anyway. Fuck him.
Yep. Because they never talked to Melo like that.
Never. Everybody be like, hey, buddy, hey. I heard Lala got a new show in New York. I hope you're not thinking of leaving.
Hey, look, Phil tried it, and Phil was like, damn, I got to come out my pocket some more.
I apologize. I don't know what I was thinking.
And, man, that's the other thing. I know we're not talking about Phil, but damn it, man. I think I still would have left just because he continuously writing these books and putting people's business out here in these streets.
Yeah,
they ain't just. The quote unquote is supposed to stay in the locker room, but except for Phil, he can write about it in a book when he feel like it, and it's his version of how things went.
Sadly, if you leave, you just become a chapter either way. So
right.
It's not even like you can avoid it. It's like the time Carmelo was a bitch and left my team. If you stay, it's like the time Carmelo was a bitch and stayed on my team. Like Phil just gonna get you one way or the other.
I gotta have somebody jack Phil up.
Well, that's that's the reason you get the money. So you can always be like, yeah, but did motherfucker pay me what he owed? That's what Kobe do. Kobe like, yeah, I'll be a bitch. I'll be a rich bitch. How about that, you
think
Phil?
He, right. Look, you think that's why they gave him the so-called loyalty contract? Because of the fact he was like, look, now let Phil write them books and say all this shit about me. I ain't never come to y'all, but y'all owe me. Because there's some shit I could have responded with.
I never wrote a book.
Like how he fucking Genie. And all this nepotism running on around here.
I'm gonna tell you straight up, dog. It didn't have nothing to do with that book. It had nothing to do with Phil Jackson. Kobe got that money because he's Kobe fucking Bryant. He's never giving a dollar back, ever.
I'm saying the extra part.
You want a dollar from Kobe, you better be a sick kid with leukemia and hope that he come give you some charity.
I'm saying that's why he got extra.
No, it wasn't no extra. All that is Kobe's in his mind. There wasn't no upcharge, no loyalty. Kobe was like, I'm worth $25 million. What's the problem? It's like, well, Kobe, you know, you're getting up there and, you know, the age, you going to give me the $25 million or do I got to take it? Cause I mean, if y'all want me to leave, I can leave, but, if y'all want me here, I want $25 million. Like he never thought about, that's why he always give the same advice to all the free agents. Have fun. That's all he says. He don't never say get your money. He don't never say do what you gotta do. He have fun, cause that's what he do. He be having fun in them offices. $25 million, please. Well, Kobe, I mean, you're coming off of you know, a year where you shot pretty low percentage. I think I was the second leading scorer in the NBA, and I could have been number one if I wanted it. Okay, I mean, that's a fair point, Kobe. But I mean, we're trying to rebuild and get some players around you that can help you out. What's that got to do with me?
That sounds great. That actually sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I hope y'all can do that.
Right. I hope y'all accomplish that.
Well, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade all giving money back. Okay. Well,
what they got to do with me?
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
Good for them.
I can't feed my family off
maybe,
of this.
Maybe you should get them on my team, and they can give some of their money back so I can keep making mine.
Latrell Sprewell tried that. Yeah. I can't feed my family.
He's like, why don't you talk to Pau Gasol, see if you can get him to give some of his money back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just trying to see if maybe we can get everybody to do it, you know, talk to each other about it. I'm good.
Now y'all can afford it.
Yeah. Well, what about we're trying to get Melo to come in. We're thinking maybe you can like renegotiate your deal. I'll meet him. All right, well, I guess you can meet him. And then he be in that meeting with Melo, and Melo be like, so what you think I should do? Have fun. I mean, you want to play with me or you want to like be on the same team? I mean, if you want to play, I don't care. You know, I think negotiating with Melo is like when, I mean, negotiating with Kobe is like when your girl wants something to eat but don't know where she want to go. Like Kobe just want to eat. He don't really give a fuck what like he wants to eat, and he already has his number in mind. That's it. You're like, oh, you want Chinese? Nah. But you say you don't know what you want. I want $25 million.
Right.
You want to play with Melo? I want $25 million.
As long as it go with $25 million.
Right.
Is it $25 million to play with Melo? Because I'll do that.
If it ain't, then I don't want it.
Yeah, but don't you want Dwight to stay? For $25 million, I guess. I mean, I don't really. For sure, I'll play with any four niggas you roll out there with me. I will play with.
For just $25 million.
For $25 million. I think you guys don't understand. My man Space Mountain writes in, Balls D Sports, LeBron Dungy Scandal. What it is, Rod and Jay Breezy. This is Space Mountain. Listening to Dan Levitard this week helped me crack the code on the whole LeBron to Cleveland decision. While I was very upset with his decision, I admired the masterclass LeBron and his people put on in this public relations game. It was so masterful, from the spurning of a city most people could easily hate on in Miami to the well-crafted narrative of going home to help the kids. Only one person could pull this off, Olivia Pope. Mm-hmm. And lip acting. This reads so much like an OPA image restoration program. OPA is Olivia Pope and Associates, for you non-scandal people. First.
Thank you.
Yeah. First, no one can set interviews with LeBron's people without going through their publicists. Olivia always makes sure her people screen all access, not only to the star, but to their assistants. He picked Sports Illustrated and print instead of TV, finding a publication that would allow the story to be told from LeBron's perspective and from a journalist with a certain level of integrity helped show maturity and dissed ESPN at the same time. Allowing a black journalist to only interview, I found out that dude ain't black. Lee Jenkins is a white dude. I saw that dude's picture. I said, well, somebody was like, cause I was like, wow, I can't believe LeBron went to a man with the blackest name in sports to reveal this news. And somebody hit me up and said, well, he's not black. I said, I didn't say he was black. I said he had the blackest name in sports. Prove me wrong. Well, who got a blacker name than that?
Ah, Jenkins.
Lee Jenkins, I would not hesitate to say, even more blacker than Bomani Jones' name. And Bomani got a pretty black name.
Yeah.
But that Lee Jenkins sounds like a black ass name.
Old black man, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be better if he had like a middle name Tyrone. And sending cupcakes to all of LeBron's neighbors, apologizing about the idiots outside his house. All these moves shifted the national view of LeBron James, endeared him to his neighbors, and made him the most liked athlete in the world within a week. Yep, got voted the most popular athlete last week. Yep, it had to be Olivia. Even the waiting 10 days and allowing ESPN to drum up interest is something Ms. Pope would do. Normal PR firms aren't that good. Just look at Tony Dungy. He made those dumb statements and then tries to backtrack on them and says the comments were made months ago. No one on this team got the reporter to go along with the story. No one. Made sure the new statement didn't contradict the old one or clarify it. Yep, only Olivia works with the level of precision. Dungy needs to holler at LBJ and get that business card off of him. Stay balls deep, Space Mountain. I will say this, man. As a PR move, it has been handled classy, but part of that is just that my man LeBron's matured.
Right.
He's just not as old as he was. And this team, which doesn't get enough credit, his team matured. And I don't mean the Cavs or the Heat. I mean Maverick Carter and those dudes have matured around him as the way they do business. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody realized, like, this is for the best for us to have a more civil approach to this thing and not as much not as much pomp and circumstance, you know.
Okay,
not,
yeah.
No need for the parades, no need for the ticker tape. Just, this is what I'm doing, deal with it or don't, but, you know, I'm going to keep it civil and classy, and I respect his decision, man. I think, ultimately, the way I talked about it a couple weeks ago has borne out already. It's only been 2 weeks. I don't see anybody actually holding a grudge with LeBron for going back.
Yeah, nobody.
We had people in
except
the chat.
Dwayne Wade.
I haven't even seen Dwayne Wade say something.
Well, he's not going to say it, but.
Yeah, well, I want to. Yeah, I'm saying I want to see. I haven't seen as much as people love giving, people love giving flack to LeBron. And I think they would if they felt that way. I don't see it. Like, it's only been 2 weeks and all the, what a coward, I can't believe he would do this, what a sellout move, all of it's done already. People are already used to it and they're wondering if Kevin Love's going to play with him.
Pat Riley still said.
I'm not trying to say that they not, just they ain't got the heart to say it out loud. Leonard Brothers linked us to, I guess this is LeBron.
That's not Leonard.
Oh, who linked us to this?
McNeil.
Oh, Garland linked us to, my bad, to LeBron visiting Lexington, Kentucky, hanging out with the kids, man. He good.
Just Kobe on, man.
Watching his son at an AAU game. That black fatherhood, man.
Mm-hmm.
He grown. Can't hate on that man. All right, let's.
That's probably what Dwayne Wade got that idea from.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And LeBron's like, you know what? I'm sending my children to in basketball every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Siobhan, you just gonna have to take them, even though your visitation, you're not getting to spend any time with them.
Mm-hmm.
But LeBron actually be at the game. D Wade be hanging out with.
Yeah. LeBron, nah, D Wade be at the game, but then he'd be like, by concessions, trying to holler at chicks. But he'd be like, I was at the game. You know, you can't take no more of my money. All right. Tony Dungy did an interview on, the Dan Patrick Show, clearing up his comments. I'm sure it went over well.
Tony Dungy from Football Night in America joining us on the show. When was the interview? When did it take place, Tone?
You know, Dan, I'm not really privy to exactly what happened. As you say, I was kind of out in the state park in Oregon, but I think the actual first quotes were from an interview with a gentleman at the Tampa Tribune right after the draft. We're talking about draft and distractions.
By the way, the interviewer has already said that's not true. He interviewed him like a couple weeks after the draft, after Michael Sam's reality show had been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And Dungy was like trying to say, well, I still believe the reality show was going on at the time, but I'm more inclined to believe the journalist, to be quite honest, because who's the one that's going to keep track of when exactly the interview was?
I guess the journalist.
That and you know, it was a lot of when the way he started out. Mm-hmm. He's not definitive.
I wasn't privy. Did you do the interview?
Sir, you don't know when you commented. How many times have you commented about Michael Sam's and not drafted him? Like, are you telling everybody this? And if so, that makes it worse, because now you've been spouting off at the mouth to multiple people about how you feel about something, but because someone actually said, wait, that's not okay what you're saying, now you want to retract it. Like, I don't remember saying that. Like, you sound like President Nixon. I don't know what's going on.
I do not recall if I had sexual relations with that woman.
You know what I'm saying?
Depends on what the definition of is.
And it was when the Oprah Winfrey show was talking about doing a reality show on Michael Sam, and that's when the discussion came out about distractions as related to draft choices.
When you said things will happen, what did you mean by things will happen in your quote?
That's exactly what I meant. We were talking about the show, and I think that was something that people didn't anticipate, and those things were going to happen and are going to happen, and that's, you know, that's what I was discussing and what we're talking about.
But is this a culture about the locker room, or is it a culture about the media covering the locker room?
Well, and that was my point. If you saw the statement that I made yesterday, I don't think there's any problem in the locker room, and I don't think there's going to be a distraction as far as Michael being a teammate or to anybody in his organization, but definitely covering the story, it is. There are going to be some distractions. And I guess
because when he made his first comments, it was that it won't go smooth.
Well, yeah, he said it won't go smooth. Then he said there's not going to be any distractions to him or the teammates.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just said there will be a distraction.
So how, Sway? How? You know what I mean? Like, you're saying it won't be a distraction, but it will be a distraction, right? Not to mention, what's your fucking job as the coach, as an organization, as a GM? Because you know who I'm watching handle this job swimmingly? The Rams and Michael Sam. So are you telling me that the coaches for the Rams and Michael Sam are actually better at handling distraction than Tony Dungy? Tony Dungy, coach of Keyshawn Johnson, Warren Sapp, Marvin Harrison, that Tony Dungy, supporter of Michael Vick, he can't handle this kind of distraction. It's too much now. Come on. And he didn't even say it's too much for this level of player, which all his defenders are saying. He didn't say that. So stop. You know, he didn't say because the locker room can't handle it. So y'all got to stop. Stop giving cover for that bullshit.
And how can college guys handle it who are supposed to be immature, who right. you consistently say they're immature, they're still learning, yet adults can't handle it?
Right.
That makes no sense to me. These guys are actually professionals. They get paid to handle it. You know who doesn't get paid to handle it, who supposedly earns it through their education? College guys.
Right.
And they seem to be handling it pretty well. So the professionals who get paid to handle it and deal with it, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
Excuses, man.
I wonder if they're going to ask them the only question that matters. Would you draft them? Because you said you wouldn't.
Right.
Would you draft them?
Look at it. I had the same kind of comments when we did the piece on Jonathan Martin. And I talked to some general managers, and they said that, you know, Jonathan definitely had the talent.
By the way, that's everybody's favorite go-to. I talked to some DMs. Mm-hmm. They don't never say the names.
Of course not.
And wasn't Martin a victim in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that you talked to people about Martin if he was going to be a distraction as the victim? So basically, he's also saying, ladies, if you were ever get raped, you couldn't work at his organization because you would be too much of a distraction to those guys, and they probably would want to rape you again. It would be your fault. Like, that's what he's saying. That's the equivalent of what he's saying. I used to like Tony Dungy. Used to.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know if the unknown GMs are the same ones that slandered Cam Newton.
That's a wonderful question.
We all thought that was kind of racist.
Play in the league, but would they want the distraction of everybody following the story and people asking their players over and over how are things going, what's going on with Jonathan, who's saying what to him? And because of the fact that they didn't view him as a difference maker, they probably wouldn't want the distractions. And
so now this is about Jonathan Martin, who apparently was a victim of being hazed.
So he's changing the subject?
What they got to do with Michael Sam?
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Michael Sam's not being hazed. Yeah, he's not participating in any back and forth with them linemen.
He blew some smoke. It just happened to go up our ass.
Oh, okay.
That's all. It just.
I guess that's my point in this whole thing. If we substitute Jonathan Martin for Michael Sam and have the same quotes and the same comment, nobody's going to replay those quotes 2 months or 3 months later and, you know, try to say that, you know, there's any more to it than what was actually said.
A lot of the reaction I get.
Actually, they probably would.
Yes, we
would on Balls Deep.
A lot of people would in the media because it was actually pretty divisive. Everybody wasn't saying that Jonathan Martin deserved to be bullied and that it was okay. And when people were talking about, oh, I wouldn't play with him, I do remember people going, why not? You know what I mean? I remember that. People were like, I wouldn't play with Jonathan Martin. I actually support, what the fuck was that meathead's name?
Pouncey?
Nah, the white dude. Oh. Got kicked off the team.
We forget
Incognito. Richie Incognito. Yeah. I support Richie Incognito. I remember that. It was a thing every time someone said it.
Yep.
You're no exception. And you put yourself out there as some sort of moral high ground person, and you don't have a moral high ground. You're just a petty ass coach on this decision.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the leader of men.
Yeah, the mentor leader is the book you wrote. So your mentorship to Michael Sam is what? Don't be gay? Don't be openly gay? Is that the mentorship you got for him?
You're going to pray the gay away, man.
Yeah, can't deal with the distraction. By the way, I don't support you being able to get married. I'm not a bigot, though. It's not like I called you a fag.
Got was that Tony's a hypocrite because, hey, he was campaigning for Michael Vick to get an opportunity to return to the NFL, and he was going to be bringing baggage and would be a distraction for a football team.
And there's no question about that. And, you know, people have to make their own decisions, and a lot of people, I think, made decisions that they didn't want to accept that. And had Philadelphia said that same thing to Michael, you know, I don't think he could be mad. I couldn't be mad. And that's a decision that they make for their team.
Yeah, except Michael Vick did a crime.
Right.
This is just someone's sexual orientation. You know, like, that was the thing this morning with Sean King, man. Like, and I mean, this shit, I'm just a regular ass dude. Warren Sapp was in my mentions today. Sean King was in my mentions today. You know, like, people that don't normally, like, talk to me about anything, because for 3 days in a row, I have not backed down. When people bring this shit up, I'm like, nope, it's wrong, and you're a bigot if you support this dude not even getting a chance.
The other thing, so he's validifying the circus that follows Michael Vick, but not right. Sam's, because he never addressed how it. One is better than the other. Like, and you can't, and it's because you can't justify it.
Yeah, and well, his thing that's amazing to me is he's now saying, what he's really saying, if you think about it, is I was wrong. People should not have listened to me about Mike Vick, just so I can be right now. Like, oh, the teams that listened to me, I mean, the Philadelphia, if they wouldn't have gave him a shot, I would have just had to understand. Couldn't be mad at him. So basically he's saying, like, what I was saying at the time was actually kind of some bullshit, which I don't believe. I think what he's saying now is the bullshit. But his defense is, no, that was kind of bullshit.
I'd rather be wrong then and right now.
Yeah, like, it's amazing. It's really amazing, dog. Let me play this.
And I'm sure they had discussions about it. And that was my only point, that those things are discussed and people ask my personal opinion, and I gave the gentleman my opinion. But it wasn't anything to attack Michael Sam, or it wasn't to come out the day before they report to camp and say he shouldn't be there. I don't believe that at all. I do believe he should be there, and I'm glad he is.
He's Tony Dungy, Football Night in America, joining us, Dan Patrick Show. How surprised are you, or how surprised were you yesterday of this taking on its own life?
I was very surprised because, as I say, I've been out.
Because nobody's ever challenged you on your shit before.
You thought people that like Chick-fil-A was going to balance, back you up. The difference is you're also not white.
Well, no. Those people are supporting them. People are supporting this. The thing is, I just think they're bigots too.
Right.
And they don't like that I think that, but what the fuck you gonna do? I don't like that you don't think gay people should be able to get married. I don't like that you think that homophobia had nothing to do with Michael Sam's precipitous, unprecedented drop in the NBA, in the NFL draft. Like, the fact that you won't even come out your mouth to even say, like, oh, the league that has issues with racism might have issues with homophobia. You can't even think that because you're so homophobic and in support of that power structure that you identify with it. You can't even come out your fucking mouth to be like, oh, you know what? Nah, think about it. Those do kind of go hand in hand. Those are first cousins, at least. You know what I mean?
Yes, they are. Brother, sister.
Yeah, kissing them, Jamie and Cersei.
I think they were, he might straighten the league up a little bit. Like, they might have to question why we have open showers and don't have partitions.
Well, why can't, you know what, though? That, this, because, oh, man, my hair's all over the place. But there's a couple things to this that piss me off. What's up with this assumption that NFL players can't evolve? That the locker room can't be a progressive place?
Because then you
And especially when it comes from other players. You do realize this validates all of the shit that the people say about y'all when they call you stupid, ignorant, subpar to the average person, when they like you don't deserve the money you make. Because what we have in regular society are these rules that protect minorities and ensure that they have an equal workplace. So when you, as an NFL player, like Sean King, like Warren Sapp was in my mentions and shit, when you tell me an NFL locker room can't do that, you're telling me that the NFL is just full of people that are just incapable of thinking on any moral higher plane than I need to hit this guy with the ball. And I refuse to let you believe that about yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to, he's saying it's okay to put bounties on people. We can accept those guys back. No media circus there. That's okay. It's okay to disrespect people and bully them. It's okay to do all those things. It's okay to have rapists on the team. Mm-hmm. It's okay to do all those things. But to say that I'm okay with a guy being homosexual, then people start to question my morals. It's, no, we question them when you back up that guy that's a murderer and or does these other things as well. Or beats his wife, or now wife, you know what I mean? It, you know, she got married so she wouldn't have to testify. But, you know, we question those people as well. It's not okay either way. Just admit you were wrong and move, like, that would be the best thing from it.
Oh, that's yeah.
And just like we talked about the other day, when Kobe did it, he, you know what? He was like, I was wrong, and then also show effort to prove that he learned from being wrong in that right. instance.
Right.
It's you know, okay.
That's a huge deal to me is, I'm one of those people that allows you to apologize for your mistake. Like, and people that are hiding behind us, at least he's honest or he's just saying what everyone's thinking. You know, or he just represent a whole bunch of people think this. They just won't say it. Yeah. That's why you lynch in mobs. You can be a big group of people and still be wrong.
Yes, you yep. can.
You know, a lot of people believed in slavery. A lot of people believed in segregation. A lot of people believe in women not being able to vote. A lot of people, it takes a lot of people being bigoted to get things done in a negative light. This is one of those times where a lot of people are wrong, and I can't wait till we look back on this 10, 15 years in the future and be like, yeah, dog, all these people were wrong. Like these people, when this is the Disney movie of 2014, but you know, like this is the Disney movie of 2029.
You know, the thing is, too, is I wonder how many other homosexual players are looking at this right now and trying to decide, should I come out next year before the draft?
Right.
Or should I come out as a player? And I really want to, but then I got stupid motherfuckers like Dungy that's in the media telling GMs you shouldn't draft him.
Yeah, somebody's, I think it was either Warren Sapp or one of them niggas was like, yo, if Jadeveon Clowney was gay, this wouldn't even really be an issue. I was like, one, it would be a bigger issue.
Yep.
Because more people talk about whatever's going on. His laziness almost became the biggest story of the draft.
He definitely wouldn't have went number one. They'd have harped right. on him being lazy, half played the season, even though prior to that, they said he should just sit out the season.
Right. They would question if he loved football for real. Here's the other part of that, you know, when you talk about if he would have been gay. Why does the best, so basically the only way you can be openly gay in the NFL is if you're the best player in the draft.
Right. Like you set the standards that high.
Yeah.
And
which sounds a lot like you can be a black quarterback, but only if you're better than everybody.
Everybody. And I think to the thing to me, we just was talking about these other players. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I honestly wish more players would come out next year in the draft. I'm like, you know what? I'm gay too. More and more dudes come out and just be truthful and say they gay.
Right. They're doing their best to make sure it doesn't happen because the subtle undertone of everything that's been said so far, because I've seen players say, well, I had a teammate that was gay and he came out after he retired. And I was like, wow, you couldn't trust me. I can't believe you did. I'm insulted with a yep. very personal decision like coming out. Right. Then you have the, oh, you're openly gay? I don't think we can handle the distraction. You shouldn't even be on the team. What they're really saying, the subtle undertone is don't be gay. Right. The only solution to this is don't be gay. You know, when you're talking about a lifestyle, when you're saying a lifestyle, that loaded word, you already let me know subliminally, this is my religion, and I believe that he is doing this somehow as a sin and not as a orientation. That, you know, I've never heard anyone refer to the heterosexual lifestyle. When somebody has six baby mamas, no one goes, the heterosexual lifestyle is out of control.
Yep.
You know, it's a distraction to the team.
Roger, you showed up to work today and I noticed you were being a little black.
Yeah, the black lifestyle is just too much.
Can you tone it down a little bit? Yeah. Don't be so dark, okay?
Can you, like, go back into the black closet, please?
Yeah, didn't they have one player today was joking, asking the name out his kids? Some dude like
here. The Cromartie.
Yeah, but that's cool though.
They have 10 different baby mamas.
Right. No problem with that. Nobody's coming
that's
out.
That's the women's fault. They blame that on women, which is acceptable to blame women.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let me play some more of this shit.
Not him.
Here in Oregon, 6 or 7 weeks, and, hadn't heard anything about it, and, hadn't talked to anybody in the media in 2 months. So I was shocked when I read Mike Florio's column, and that was the headline. Tony Dungy wouldn't have drafted Michael Sam. And I know, a lot of people are trying to make this about my Christian faith. And, that's something, Dan, I'm not going to back down from ever. And I do have my Christian beliefs, but, I think.
So basically, being gay is a sin, is a lifestyle, and, they shouldn't be able to get married. That's what, when they say that, that's the funny part of this conversation is the coded words.
Mm-hmm.
The distraction is I don't approve of you being gay.
Mm-hmm.
They talk around it, but the end result is the fucking same.
And
you can't be on my team being gay.
The other part of it is, so you're going to validate your ignorance through your religion when you can't bring religion into your workplace.
Right.
Like, that's not
it. But they do all the time. They pray before the game. Mm-hmm. My man, they hold up. Ray Lewis is some type of, a dude that obstruction of justice, a dude that involved in someone getting killed. But hey, he prays so hard when he prays dances that we're going to look past that, sad.
People should recognize that when you go into coaching, you coach and you have a responsibility to deliver a good football team to your owner. So you're going to do everything you can to do that. So, I would not, and I've said that many times and been on record when asked about Michael Sam specifically. No, I wouldn't have a problem coaching him, and I would not have a problem him being on the team. And you make those decisions based on what people bring to the table.
But how does he get on the team? This is shit that was killing me, because people were like, he said he had no problem coaching him, said he had no problem with him on his team. But he would have a problem drafting them. Now, last time I checked, there's only a couple ways onto an NFL team. Hmm. There's free agency, which is impossible when you're a draft pick and you've been picked. Right? So you would, a trade. You're not talking about trading for him. How would you get Michael Sam on the team? Now, watch Dan. I bet Dan Patrick don't even ask this shit, man. This is what's killing me. Cause they giving him so much room because of who he is.
Right.
And it's so fucked up because, people are trying to turn him into a martyr, but I don't believe in bigots being martyrs. You know what I mean? And people don't want to hear that word bigot, but I don't give a fuck if you're a nice guy. I have no problem with you, Rod. Like, yeah, but you still, hey, I just hate Asian people. Okay. Now you black people are fine with me. Oh, well then I guess it's cool. Like, you're still a bigot. I don't give a fuck.
Athletically and what they can do to make your team better. So I was a little bit surprised, yeah.
Should your faith, though, bleed into this controversy?
Well, I think it always does. And I think that's part of walking as a Christian, and I accept that part of it. And, people are always going to have their views. I don't expect everybody to agree with me, but I don't think people should expect me to back down on my views about faith. But again, this was not a discussion about that. This was a discussion about a particular situation at a particular time and a particular player. And I think for people to take it into, well, this means he hates this group of people or he wouldn't do this. Those are the things I've been reading in the last day that really surprised me.
Yeah, Bob Kravitz, the columnist, Indianapolis Star, who you know well, who covered you with the Colts, said that this was based on your faith of how you view gays and gay marriage.
Well, gay marriage and who should be on a football team have nothing to do with each other. And Bob Kravitz, and again, I haven't read the article, but he knows the type of locker room that we had, the type of players. Not everybody on that team was a Christian. Not everybody believed the same things I did. Not everybody had the same political views. And that's fine. That's good. That's what a football locker room is all about.
But didn't say you weren't going to draft
equate
him.
This to game.
Right. You didn't say you wouldn't draft him for not having the same views. Not to mention, you're the one in charge. So we're talking about power structure. And you go, yeah, I let my faith bleed into my job. And I think some of this stuff is worse than others. Now, you can be a fornicator. That's fine. You want to beat your wife? Cool. You murder somebody. Hey, fine. you had a pretty good year receiving.
You want to sell drugs in the community?
Yeah.
Get that dope?
You want to shit on your teammates like Keyshawn? No problem. But do you want to actually be gay? Oh, no. I'm sorry.
You can't play football.
Come on, dog. Can't draft you. Yeah, I don't have a problem coaching you. You could be on my team. I just want to draft you. I just don't want you on my team.
You're on the practice squad.
And political views. And that's fine. That's good. That's what a football locker room is all about. But to equate this to gay marriage, to me, is really silly.
Any thoughts on reaching out to Michael Sam?
I hadn't thought about it, but I think it might be a good idea, and I'd love to do that. And hopefully.
Hadn't even thought about it.
You gonna pray the gay away? Like, what would you reaching out to him to talk about? What,
dog? I'm surprised he had. First of all, this nigga reaches out to everybody that gets in trouble.
Yes.
So you cause trouble for this kid who's just trying to keep his head down and make his team. I absolutely am kind of shocked that he hadn't already thought of reaching out to him. How did you're Tony Dungy, the mentor leader? You should have been called. You should have called him before you even fucking were going to say something that negative about him in the first place. You know what I mean? But to then say it, and it's been months, and you're like, oh shit, that's a good point. I guess I should have called him.
This the other thing too. He had like, well, just because I said it 2 months ago, it means like it never happened. So yeah. What? Who cares if you said it last year?
You still believe it, by the way.
He
didn't say, that was 2 months ago. Actually, I would draft him now. Sorry. That's how he could end this.
Yep.
Nobody would be able to say anything bad about him if he would have said, thinking about it again, I would draft him. Not a big deal.
I had a different perspective.
Yep.
He refusing to back down like I refuse to back down with anything good from Cleveland.
Yeah. Like when he said, I thought that, he was going to do that reality show at the time. Well, it turns out that he canceled the show. So would you still not draft him? Yeah, I still wouldn't draft him. Well, then it didn't matter, did it?
Right.
I get the chance. I would want to wish him the best and let him know that, I have no bitterness or animosity towards him, even though I don't agree.
Why would you?
Why he hasn't done anything to you.
Why would you?
Him being gay has offended you that much,
right?
That he owes you an apology? Come on, son.
I wish him the best. I wish him the best.
That's why he only won one Super Bowl.
I wish him the best is I don't have a problem with interracial dating, but not my daughter.
That's bless your heart. Bless your little heart.
Chance, I would want to wish him the best and let him know that, I have no bitterness or animosity towards him, even though I don't agree with his lifestyle. I love him and I wish him the best, and I'd love to say that to him.
What so if you wanted to talk about
my bad,
faith
Jason.
And
go ahead.
Lifestyle?
No, so he gonna call him to tell him I don't agree with your lifestyle. What the fuck is that? I wish a motherfucker would call me to be like, well, Justin, I don't agree with you being light skinned and always defending other light skinned people. I don't agree with you being on the show Balls Deep and you being friends with Rod. That's not acceptable in my book.
It sure ain't.
You will get cussed the fuck out so quick at that point. Like, really? You gonna call the man and tell him you don't agree with his sexual orientation?
Right, don't waste the phone call.
What? Yeah. What? Nigga. Oh my God. He is making me so mad for Michael Sales right now.
Dude, the most condescending part of that comment? I love him. How? That's not how you love anybody.
Please don't love me.
Yeah. Then I definitely don't want your love. Man, he's so lucky that people have such high regard and high standards for him, man.
That, and it's still a large part of society that, like you say, I'll accept black people, but not being gay. You can't, that, like, it's still a large part of society.
Seeing other black people have this dude's back is the most disheartening thing, man. I've lost so much respect for so many people about just real talk. Just, I'm just like, wow, I cannot believe how much this is inside of you. You know what I mean? I just lose respect for these people where it's like, you know, I have respect logic, and the logic is so fucking simple because this shit is almost one to one the same for race. It's damn near the same. This is exactly why black coaches were not getting interviews. Shit like this.
Right.
It's the same logic. Well, you know, if you interview the coach, I mean, he might not even be ready. He might be a bad coach. I mean, he doesn't have any real head coaching experience. We never had this at this level before.
He's not smart enough to be quarterback.
Yeah, maybe he's not. Yeah, maybe he's just not good enough. And you're like, but if you don't even give him an interview, because that's all it is. A 7-round pick is an interview, y'all. It doesn't mean you're making the team at all.
They barely make the team.
Yeah, many 7-round picks never make the NFL team. Mm-mm. So if you can't even say he should be drafted, you're saying he doesn't even deserve a chance to prove he belongs. But then you want to have it both ways while being like, oh, I'd coach him. I wouldn't have a problem. I mean, I just wouldn't give him a way to get on my team. And I would let him know I don't approve of his lifestyle. Do you let Marvin Harrison know you don't approve his lifestyle?
No.
When Edgerrin James is shacking up with someone, do you stop and let him know you don't approve of their lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Did you call him and tell him condolences for the loss of your son that you didn't know you had because you sleep with so many women? Mm-hmm. However, I don't approve of your lifestyle, Adrian. You should just have one woman in life, and that's it. Just be with one woman. You should be married to her when you have sexual relations with her. I doubt that came out of his mouth. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt he called Peyton Manning and told him, stop doing all these commercials because you're a distraction to the team, being on SNL and all these other shows, doing things with your brother. You know, I doubt he had any conversation like that.
Yeah. When a player gets caught doing drugs, do they go, I don't approve of your lifestyle. You're doing drugs. You smoking weed, Randy Moss. I don't approve of your lifestyle.
Nope. You know what they do? They tell him you can't play at the games, but still come to practice. Come work out because we want you to be ready.
Soon as you get off suspension, don't worry. You'll be back starting. No problem. I can handle this distraction. Randy Moss hit a nigga with his car while he hit a police officer with his car while he had weed in it. Nobody gave a fuck. We didn't morally debate that shit. It was like, it's just weed, dog. Calm down. That was pretty much the collective response. Like, a lot of players smoke weed.
And if Michael Sam likes the touch of another man, good for him.
Yeah, it has shit to do with me.
Yeah, good for him. That's you, bro.
Yeah.
More women for me when I was single. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Not to mention, like you said, his college teammates handled this just fine.
Yep.
And the Rams are handling it just fine.
And they getting paid to handle it. Tony Dungy, you would have been getting paid to draft him. And you wouldn't, even though it would have made the team better? Because you clearly said you're going to do what makes the team better. Because you have an owner that you have to answer to. You just said you weren't drafting him because he's gay.
By the way, most important part of this that no one's talking about, I promise you it won't be a story in 6 months. Matt Tateo seemed like the biggest story in the world, and it went away. The only reason this stays a story is because of people that are bigots. It only stays a story because of them. And if they would shut the fuck up, nothing would happen. Because it's not like Michael Sam is going out going, I got this tackle for GLAAD. Okay, guys, when I tackled this dude, that's actually for the LGBT movement. Like, he doesn't, I'm going to wear a rainbow patch on my uniform. That's going to symbolize what I'm into. Like, he doesn't single himself out.
Do y'all know all of the dick grabbing that goes on and piles during a fumble and
That's what they're scared. Somebody might grab a dick and like it.
How do you know
that's not already happening?
Who thought it was a good idea to grab somebody's dick during a fumble? That's a good football play.
Yeah, right. As long as we're straight, though.
What?
As long as our dicks don't get hard.
We're fighting. How come there aren't fights after that? In my opinion, that has to be a fight.
By the way, I guarantee he'll never grab a dude's dick. He'll be the one defensive player that don't do it. Because he's like, I don't want them problems.
Yep.
You know, he'll be the one like, fumble. Well, I guess they got it.
And just
I would absolutely love to do that and would welcome that.
You know, when you put yourself out there like this, and I talked to you about this when we first started, I said, when you say things, people are going to react. And I don't know if you realized that at the time. You realize that now, right?
Well, that's good in a lot of ways. And people do react, and that's fine. And I just wish they would react off the facts and what I say and not what they believe or what they perceive. And
we are going off of what you say. And we're also going off of the shit that you've done. Like, you can't, like, this is the thing that's so crazy about the religious bigotry against homosexuals. Is this shit where you do the, yeah, I'm against gay marriage, but what's that got to do with me being a bigot? Like, how does that make me a bad person? Because I believe your love is inferior to mine and you shouldn't be able to have it between two consenting adults? Somehow I'm a bad person? Yes. Yes, the right. Fuck you are. And you can't separate that. When this distraction, which is a very loaded word that you're hiding behind, when this distraction is too much, but all these other niggas' distractions are just fine? Yeah, we're not judging you off of what you didn't say. It's what you're saying that people are judging you off of.
I'm so glad they released this after the playoffs, after the World Cup.
Yep.
And after all this. Because otherwise, he would have skated
been
by.
Grounded, yeah.
Well, everybody's on some like, well, they're just fishing for a story. This is a pretty important thing that he's saying.
And it's not fishing because he sat down and did this interview.
Fuck that. It's not fishing because a lot of people agree with him. That's why it's not fishing.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
It would be fishing if we were like, oh, you guys are picking on Tony Dungy. He made a mistake. He apologized. Let it go. That's fishing to me.
Yeah, fishing would
fishing be... isn't fucking players calling in going, you know, I was talking to Tony the other day and I agree with him. Like, then you're not fishing. It's a story because of you, nigga.
And it's not fishing, too, because it's not like he went Tony Dungy and dug up his past to find out if Tony Dungy smoked weed in high school or if he got multiple children by different women or if he has felonies or any other thing. Like, that's fishing.
Right.
You know what I mean? How much is his house worth? That's
you're
fishing.
On my TV every Sunday as the paragon of moral virtue. This is your doing. So I'm examining your morals. And I don't agree. You know what I mean? People think this judgment shit goes one way, man. Oh, I judge you off of this inconsistent book that I read. I can judge your ass right back. All of us don't follow the same shit. You know? Yeah. So
it also says love your neighbor in the book.
Yeah. Like, people, you can pick whichever fucking thing you want to follow. I know because I've seen people do it. You know what I mean? It's not like being Christian means you need to be a bigot towards gay people. I know people that are Christians that don't.
Right.
He specifically is using the religion and then using these loaded words of distraction to hide behind. The reason, you know why this would be a distraction if he played for Tony Dungy? Because Tony Dungy would say some shit like this while he was on the team.
Yep.
That's why it would be a distraction. Well, you know, I don't approve of his lifestyle. Now it's a distraction. If you would just shut the fuck up and have some quiet strength, author of that book, you will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You could just as easily shut the fuck up about it if you're that worried about a distraction because you caused a distraction. He's not causing a distraction.
I bet you.
The media's not causing a distraction by asking the question. There's an answer to this question that doesn't have any problem. And you know why? Because everybody else answered the question just fucking fine until it got to you.
I bet you he'll be at Eddie Long Church on Sunday putting money in the plate.
Right.
Talking about praise him.
Exactly. That's like saying it's the media's fault for asking about the Rooney Rule.
You know, that goes with the territory, though, so I'm willing to accept that.
And people did bring up Tim Tebow, that you seem to have admiration, respect for him, maybe even more because of his Christian faith.
I have a lot of admiration for Tim, and I do respect his Christian faith. I think, you know, as a lot of people have pointed out, it's the same thing. I think Tim Tebow, general managers, have made a decision that, you know, based on where he is and his talent level as a quarterback, I'm not sure I want to deal with all the distractions that come with it. Now, if Tim was willing to go to another position and they saw that him being a running back or a tight end and, boy, that athleticism, what he could bring to the table, you know, it might be a different story. So I think these discussions are had all the time, and for people to say that it's not part of it, of the evaluation process, that's naive.
Nah, that's not what people are saying. They're saying if you evaluate based off of this as a negative, we get to judge you back.
Right.
That's the thing. It's, no one's setting you up. This is like when Sarah Palin said, you set me up by asking me what books I read. You put yourself out there as a moral, as a moral authority, and they asked you about some moral shit, and now you want to run behind. Nah. I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, and that's where people, I think, have an issue, though, that it is part of the process that Tim Tebow, with who he is and what he represents, and maybe Michael Salmon, who he is and what he represents. And if you had to make a decision on one of those two players to keep on a roster, I think that's what people have read into this. Fair or not, Tony, I think that's what people are saying. You know,
well, they you know, they can read in whatever they want, but I think you make decisions as a football coach to bring the best team you can to your owner and your fans, and that's what I always tried to do. And as a Christian, I think that is my responsibility, and if I did anything less, that would be wrong, and that would be a sin in my mind. So to keep someone who was a Christian who wasn't as good and wasn't going to help the team as much, or to say someone who doesn't have my Christian beliefs, I'm not going to have them on the team, even though they could help us, that would be wrong, and I've never done that.
Do you believe the Rams, Jeff Fisher, drafted Michael Sam for football reasons?
Oh, I think absolutely. That's why people do it. People are in this league to win, you know, and the Philadelphia Eagles taking Michael Vick. I'm sure Andy Reid had some compassion for Mike, but they thought they were going to get some return on their investment. And the Rams.
For the record, people keep bringing up this shit with Michael Vick, and y'all niggas know I love me some Michael Vick. When he left the league, the fucking Falcons were last in yards per play. Like, before he got arrested, they were terrible. Everyone has forgotten this shit because Andy Reid and them managed to salvage something from his career.
True.
There's a reason they got him on sale, and it wasn't just the fact that he was coming out of prison. It was also the fact that when he left, it wasn't that great. It's the reason that they had Donovan McNabb as the starter already.
It's hard for me to believe that a dude top of his conference, winning all the awards in his conference, can't transition those skills into the NFL.
And
what? Or at least, you know what? It's not even that. That he doesn't deserve a chance.
Yeah.
That's the part that's crazy to me. Cause I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, he gotta make the team. Now he gonna be the best player. I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying he gotta make special teams. He's already done the hard work by just being openly gay and trying to do this without causing a whole lot of trouble and causing up a stir. He's already done the hard work. He's already become an example. He's already a hero to some kids out there. Mm-hmm. When gay teens have a high suicide rate, like, he's already somebody's hero. And that is enough for me personally. But people are adding to this shit, like, on some, like, well, if he's not good enough to be Jadeveon Clowney, then is he even worth the trouble? You know what I mean? Like, they keep upping the level. So they're forgetting that the only thing we're saying is he should have been drafted.
Do they even play the same position?
No. Well, I don't know. I think Jadeveon might play defensive end also. But they're trying to transition Michael Sam to a linebacker. He's slow for a linebacker. He's small for a DE. Like, you know, there's legit questionable, like, is he going to be a player at the next level questions. It's just, were the questions enough to drop him to where Tony Dungy's basically saying should not be drafted, where all these players that are coming out to defend their homophobia, you know, they're saying should not even be drafted. They're not even saying should have been drafted late, went to the right round, none of that. Just shouldn't have been drafted.
Yeah, well, then Tim Tebow shouldn't have been drafted.
Right. He went in the first round. We know he can't play quarterback.
Come on now.
Keeps getting on teams. You know where he wasn't a distraction, though? Where they have a good coach in the GM with the Patriots. Didn't hear a fucking peep.
Yeah, because they weren't going to put up with that.
Right.
Well, it's not even that, but the coaches have sway on who does interviews after practices, after things like that. And they select who does what. So don't select Sam if you don't want him to be an issue. They didn't select Tebow. He's not the star of the team. Sam not the star of the team. So why would he be doing interviews? He's doing interviews because people like Tony Dungy keep slandering his name. So at this point, you interview him to find out, well, how do you feel about such and such slandering your name?
And my thing, it's funny, though, how people talk about this is not a big deal. If it's not a big deal, other people that got drafted close to the last in the draft do not have cameras in their face. Yeah. So what does that tell you about the importance of him coming out? And what does that also tell you about him, quote unquote, not being a big deal?
You know, when he first got drafted, I was like, okay, good for him. Gay dude saying he's gay and wants to play in the NFL. Like, no big deal to me. But then the more we cover the story, it really is a big deal because he is actually gay and he's saying it. And I forget sometimes that people in this country are such idiots and they judge people off of other things other than their talent for certain things. Yep. Like if he's a football player, judge him off his talent. The other shit don't matter.
Don't matter at all.
Yep.
Are expecting some return on their investment from Michael Sam, and I hope they get it.
Yeah, I guess my thought was that the league didn't want to have Michael Sam go undrafted. That's just my gut feeling, Tony. And that Jeff Fisher on the competition committee, getting a guy from Missouri to play for the Rams, even though they're deep at defensive line. It felt like maybe a statement was made with that draft pick. That's just my gut feeling.
So the NFL told him to draft. That's saying that the NFL commissioner made a call and said, you have to draft him. That, do you know?
I don't even think that's what he said. Let me play it again, because I want to be sure that that's what Dan Patrick is saying, because I didn't get that, but okay.
The Christian who wasn't as good and wasn't going to help the team as much, or to say someone who doesn't have my Christian beliefs, I'm not going to have them on the team, even though they could help us, that would be wrong, and I've never done that.
Do you believe the Rams, Jeff Fisher, drafted Michael Sam for football reasons?
Oh, I think absolutely. That's why people do it. People are in this league to win, you know, and the Philadelphia Eagles taking Michael Vick. I'm sure Andy Reid had some compassion for Mike, but they thought they were going to get some return on their investment. And the Rams are expecting some return on their investment from Michael Sam, and I hope they get it.
Yeah, I guess my thought was that the league didn't want to have Michael Sam go undrafted. That's just my gut feeling, Tony. And that Jeff Fisher on the competition committee, getting a guy from Missouri to play for the Rams, even though they're deep at defensive line, it felt like maybe a statement was made with that draft pick.
I hear it now, Justin. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. He was saying,
because it couldn't possibly be that they got a steal or he was worth being drafted.
Right. He basically said the commissioner calls them and was like, if he wouldn't have went undrafted, there's nothing that the commissioner could have did about that.
Yeah, gut feeling. Come on, man. I also think that's complete bullshit, though, because as a coach, I don't give a fuck about the competition committee, any of that shit. No one's making me do anything with my fucking career.
Right.
Like, so if this dude doesn't pan out, now it's on me. Because that's what happens when you're a coach. They don't go, hey, at least you gave him a shot. They go, you could have drafted somebody else, nigga. I don't give a fuck if it's a seventh round.
Yep, and that would be that phone call would have spread the news media before anything else.
Right. Oh, that would have got out. That would have got out. It couldn't possibly be that they thought they got a steal, or it was Jeff Fisher's personal beliefs. None of that. It had to be the NFL, because you know how progressive the NFL is, right? About gay rights. You know how upfront they are with the team, with the Redskins as a banner of the team of the league. Totally upfront about that. You know, we like to get in front of these things. That's why we needed the Rooney Rule, because it wasn't after decades of black coaches getting passed over. It was, you know, they were ahead of it.
Just my gut feeling.
Well, you know, everyone has an opinion, and I know as a coach, I don't think I would do that, and as an organization, I don't think I would do that. I think you're trying to make your team as strong as it can be, and you know, as we say, everybody has an opinion.
How's vacation, by the way?
Actually, it's been great up until yesterday when my phone kind of was blowing off.
Yeah, it's been great until everybody found out that shit I said.
Right.
Till that article came out, people got hip to the fact that I'm kind of a bigot.
The hook, but the kids are enjoying it. We really enjoy getting away and spending some family time. So that part has been really good.
What was the criticism that hurt the most?
I think that being a Christian, that I'm somehow hateful of gay people, or because I believe certain things about marriage, that makes me anti-gay or anti...
It does. I don't know why people act like you can have it both ways. You can't.
No, you can't.
If you told me I don't believe in interracial marriage, we would not have a long-ass discussion about how you're not a bigot. We would all, everybody would collectively go, oh, because that person is a bigot. All of us would do it. You know, except for racist people, everybody would be like, yeah, if you believe some stupid shit like that, that consenting adults of different races can't get married, you're a bigot. But somehow it's different because they gay.
It's different because I say it's different.
Yeah. Don't do what I say, not as I do.
Keep blowing smoke up my ass. I don't.
Motherfuckers.
Anybody. And I guess that goes with the territory, but that's certainly not what my faith is all about.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
All right, DP. You know, I appreciate it. I am looking forward to Thursday night in Seattle. And
see, this act. They friends, dog. Yep. Like, they work together. He didn't ask, what was the one question I said I wanted to see him ask? I listened to 11 minutes of this shit for a reason. I wanted him to ask one question. Would you draft him then?
Oh, no, he's not going to ask him that.
Would you draft him now? Now that you've said these other comments, would you have a problem drafting him?
It's the reason he selected him, the one person to do his interview with.
Oh, like, yeah.
He didn't go on the NFL Network. He didn't do any NFL sports shows. None of those. He didn't even do a national show that's on TV regularly.
Nope.
You know, he picked the Dan Patrick radio show.
Somebody would have fucked around and asked him that question.
They even changed, like, the title in the ESPN article when he clarified was, Dungy says Sam deserves a chance. Skipping right over the fact that still wouldn't draft him and wouldn't be on my team.
Well, did he say he deserves a chance? Did he say that? Because it sounded like I heard him say...
He said he deserves a chance to play football. Where, though? Because that really wasn't the question. We know he deserves a chance. Wasn't the question, does he deserve a chance on your team? And I believe the answer was, nah, nigga, I ain't with that gay shit. Pretty sure that's how it worked out.
I recall him saying he deserved a chance. He might have said it. I just remember him focusing on the fact that it's not a distraction, but it's a distraction.
Now, it was the
and
second.
And we can't have distraction.
It was the second interview. Have you seen this? Like, this is his third interview.
I haven't been watching anything.
Yeah, the first comments, you're right. He didn't bring it up. In his second comments, that's when he was like, let me clarify. What I'm really trying to say is the same shit, but I'm going to say it different. I'm going to say it slower this time. He says, I do not believe Michael's sexual orientation will be a distraction to his teammates or his organization. I do, however, believe that the media attention comes with a distraction. He said he absolutely deserves a chance to play in the NFL. He hit that Nico from Love & Hip Hop. Absolutely.
That's what I do, girl.
Yeah. Nico, they are saying this tape is out. Absolutely. All right, man.
This coming from the only black coach to win a Super Bowl. Got the nerve to have biases.
Right.
Come on.
How were the 2 weeks before he won his Super Bowl not a distraction? It was nothing but look at these black coaches, y'all. Black coaches about to black it up, y'all. Blacking it in the black Super Bowl, super black, black bowl, black a bowl. Like, it was all blackity black. All fucking day long.
How can a black coach manage a white quarterback? They can't relate.
Yeah, but that's different. Oh, that's different.
I can't wait till he get discriminated against and try to make a big deal out of it. Nigga, I can't
wait for the next player he supports so I can be like, oh, that's not the problem. Okay. I can't wait for the Josh Gordon deserves a third chance shit. I can't wait. Nobody calling, man, listen.
I think Josh on his fifth.
Man, listen.
Because he got in trouble last year with some shit.
Yep.
And then twice this year. So I think he on his fourth or fifth.
Yep. Everybody be going to voicemail. I'm about to tweet that. Everybody about to be going to voicemail for Tony Dungy.
You ain't picking up the phone with nobody.
Mm-hmm. for his advice this year. Yeah, he about to be like, you know, are you sure you want me to talk about it?
That's why RG3 sent McNabb the voicemail. Because he couldn't get along with Terrell. He was like, why would I talk to him? He can't even get along with Terrell. Yeah. And RG3 seemed like the type of dude that liked Terrell Owens and his type of game. And you see, they kind of treat the locker room the same, throwing everybody under the bus.
Yep, that's true. Maybe when he gets in trouble, he can give Dungy a call, too. He the Olivia Pope of the NFL, and he fucking up. West Virginia University's Clint Trickett, quarterback, apologized for a misunderstood tweet perceived as derogatory to women.
How's it misunderstood?
Keep in mind, this is what happens when college football is the shit and where you live and you don't have any other sports, because as you can tell from the headline, it's written by somebody from West Virginia.
Right.
Like, if this is written on ESPN, they'd be like, sexist tweet from quarterback. Instead, it's misunderstood tweet that people may not have gotten, was perceived bad. Clint Trickett didn't attend the Big 12 Media Day. Unwittingly, he created a media mini spectacle nonetheless, thanks to what else? Twitter. Because it's always Twitter's fault, not yours.
Not the person.
His tweet from last week picked up viral momentum after being featured on Deadspin. Watching football with girls is literally worse than death. One bad play, they suck. Hashtag these hoes ain't loyal. Hashtag stick to cooking.
Oh, ain't no sexist about that, huh?
At Clint Trickett 9. West Virginia senior quarterback subsequently offered an apology late Tuesday night. I sent out a tweet on July 17th, which was misunderstood. I apologize for any confusion that tweet has caused. I never intended for it to be derogatory or hurtful, but rather a tongue-in-cheek comment while watching a CFL football game with my female family member. Again, I'm sorry that my tweet was misunderstood. I will use better choice of words in the future.
I wonder which family member that he calling a hoe.
That wasn't misunderstood.
Yo, dog. First of all, right. One, who you calling hoe in your house? But number two, how come no one ever asked the questions that are so obvious, like, well, what did you mean?
Right, because this is what I was going to say next. Can you just clarify what you meant then, since I misunderstood it? Please explain to me so I can understand better. That's my bad.
You know, Justin, I'm like you, who is this family member? Because obviously she don't know that this tweet was written about her.
Oh, she know now.
Yeah, she know now.
She know now.
But she didn't know at the time.
And I wonder how he apologizing to her. Cause she probably called him with some straight up fuck you. And like.
Right.
And it could have been his mama in the house.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have mattered.
It could have been his mama.
Like, I know he gonna try to be like, nah, it's a song. It's based off a song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how does that relate to the situation? I'm misunderstood. Oh yeah, no, we got that.
So nobody questioned him on who he was calling the hoe. Mm-hmm. Like, so which family member did you call a hoe then, Thicket?
Right, and that's because somebody local wrote it, whose football is everything to the whole damn town, versus somebody outside of the area.
Although these hoes ain't loyal.
Yeah, obviously. Hashtag these hoes ain't loyal. I'm not. It's not that you got to disagree with them. I understood it, and I'm mad that he backed down.
They just ain't loyal.
There is nothing worse than watching football with a woman that doesn't understand loyalty. What is wrong with that?
And or football, apparently.
Yeah. I'm mad that he lied, because now I'm like, did I misunderstand him? Because I took the original meaning as correct. Speaking of not being loyal, Texas football player sexually assaulted a woman and took a picture.
Let's see if they get drafted. See if Tony Dungy would take them.
Yeah.
They'll get drafted. In fact, they go to first round.
Tony Dungy on Twitter, I just want to keep sending him links to shit. Like, hey, man, what about these dudes? Would you take him?
He is on Twitter.
I don't know, man. I just want to keep sending Tony Dungy stories. People fucking up in college. Like, yo, he cool? What you think? First round? Last round?
He got the speed. He do have the speed, though.
You approve of the rape lifestyle? You cool with that?
Apparently so.
Two Texas football players, Kendall Sanders and Montreal Meander, man, unfortunate last name, are charged with felony sexual assault for an attack that police say happened last month in a university dorm room. They have since been suspended from the team. Sanders also is charged with one count of improper photography or visual recording for having a picture of the woman on his phone, possibly taken during the attack.
You know what? And maybe this might be too far, but if you do that, I think that shit should be a felony.
I don't think she was intended to be in the picture. I think she photobombed the picture. I think he was trying to take a selfie, like, you know, spurred him on, like, oh, this is a good time to take a selfie.
And she said, oh, I'm going to photobomb you getting sexually assaulted in the background.
And she photobombed it, Karen. That's really what that was.
Yeah, he was set up, you know.
Barely, so she dropped out the sky.
Nothing wrong with his lifestyle. Totally draftable, though.
Right.
Man, you know what's crazy to me is, like, obviously, if they did it, I would love to see these niggas go to jail and whatever. No sympathy for that. But I still couldn't help but shake my head at taking a picture of the crime.
Right. How, like, dumb I still can was like,
did you want to get caught? Like, did you think, what were you planning on doing with this picture? Passing it around?
I mean,
jacking off to it later, like remembering the rape?
I mean, obviously you never had the enjoyment of having sex with a woman who disapproved of the action.
Apparently not.
So you wouldn't understand.
Apparently I can't relate to taking that picture. Sound like you're authority on it. I don't understand.
Maybe my words are misunderstood. Maybe my words are misunderstood.
He tweeted the picture out with me. These hoes ain't loyal.
Hashtag.
Hashtag bitches, am I right?
Yeah.
Hashtag keep them legs open. Yeah. Hashtag closing.
According to court records posted online by Austin American Statement, the full arrest warrants can be found at the bottom. And they graphically described the woman's account of being vaginally, anally, and orally violated by both men. Even as she vocally and physically resisted, the woman told police she was having consensual sex with Meander in his dorm room in June 21st, when someone knocked on the door, Meander let Sanders in. When Sanders entered the room, Meander walked into the bathroom. Sanders began taking off his clothes, which were athletic shorts. The victim told Sanders to stop and that she did not want to engage in sex with him. Sanders got into bed anyway, forcibly penetrated her vagina with his penis. The victim told Sanders to stop, that she did not want like what was happening. Sanders told the victim that she would like it and that it was going to feel good. He's a rapist, dog. Like, this, it's sad we got to go into this kind of detail, but this is, you have to, because unfortunately, this is where niggas are at with it right now.
Right.
On some, like, but did she, like, punch him in the face? Or she just, how do we know she didn't, she was already having sex? I mean, maybe she just embarrassed that it was said she tried to fight him and told him no. I mean, but did she say no with an exclamation point or like a question mark?
Was it
a question mark, I mean, maybe she would have liked it. Like, nah, dog.
She said no.
Yeah.
And I don't care if we in the middle of fucking. If I say no, all the activity stops.
The woman tried closing her legs, but Sanders forced them open and continued the assault. First on the bed, later on the floor. At one point, he anally penetrated her. Again, the woman said no and tried to push him away. The victim tried using her legs, pushed Sanders away. I'm sad she has to tell him all this.
Yeah.
Because if she would have just said, I was scared and I let it happen because I didn't want to be hurt, people would have been like, ho, it's your fault. Mm-hmm.
The sad thing is, too, man, she's going to get on campus.
Right.
She's
still gonna get treated like
she's gonna get treated like it's her fault, and she fucked up the football program,
right? Yep. Because it's bigger than her.
Not they made a terrible decision and violated her. Is they shaming the victim? They gonna shame the victim the same way Dungy was shaming Martin.
Yeah,
the same way he trying to shame Sam.
Yep,
like this.
The victim vocalized to Sanders that she was uncomfortable and did not want to have sex with him. Instead, Meander returned to the room and both men continued assaulting her, penetrating her in both vagina and mouth. The victim asked Meander why he was doing this and he did not reply. He just stared at her. The victim told us that she withdrew her consent to penetration by Meander. The victim asked to leave and Sanders said, you can leave after I'm done. The victim closed her eyes and tried to mentally and emotionally remove herself from the situation. At that time, she was not able to discern who was doing what to her. Then the woman saw a flash she assumed was a cell phone camera. The victim asked both Sanders and Meander about the photo. Sanders told her that it was not a photo. The victim then dressed and left the room crying. Yeah. See, there's no fucking way, when we hear these Republican congressmen be like, well, you know, rape on campus is a made up stat. Like, this is the kind of shit that they're giving cover to.
Right.
And you think this the first, this can't be the first, I don't even believe this the first time they've done this act.
No, I guarantee it's not.
Because on the spur of the moment, my chick come over, we do something, Then all of a sudden, you talking about you trying to hit, and you get in the same bed I just finished in.
Dave,
we got now. You and I have problems because you brought this up to me.
Dave, done this a lot. They've done it to a lot of women in the past, and it's just one of the things with their football on the football squad, and it's just that's what we do. This is what we do. We run the same women. We run train on them. It don't matter what they say because we on the football squad and. We can basically, quote unquote, ruin your life.
Dude, I read a book called Make Me Wanna Holler, and it was about a black dude who was like a successful businessman.
Love that book.
Yeah.
Nathan McCall.
Yeah, but there's a chapter in there where he talks about growing up in gangs and shit and how they would run trains on women by tricking, or girls, because they were all kids, by being like, they had like a whole plan. Like, one dude is making out with her, and having sex with her, then the biggest, scariest dude comes and knocks on the door, and then the guy inside is like, oh, if you don't have sex with him, then he's gonna be real mad. I don't know what he's gonna do. So just have sex with him, and then, like, we could leave. And then they just never stop. Like, the next dude comes in, next dude. And I remember, like, having to put the book down, like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a crazy, bad situation, you know, for a woman to be in. Or a girl to be in. And, you know, he was being remorseful about it and all this shit. But it's like, how sad is it that that many kids, that many young men were together at a time going, this is okay. And nobody was like, what the fuck? This is wrong.
And he talked about it like that was a normal thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, he talked about it in that book. Like, dude, they regularly did this.
Right. And when I hear about these situations, I think about that book and I think about how he talked about it like it wasn't some unusual shit to do. And that's why I get into these where I'm like, yo, man, who knows? Like, when I hear Steubenville, I'm like, I guarantee that's not the only person that got that done to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it never fails a couple months later. Yo, four other girls came forward. Three other girls came forward. Somebody said I had it done to me, but, you know, it's still this girl's fault. It was my fault. Internalizing that victimization. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not shocked at all.
Great, great book too, by the way. Like, that's an excellent example. Great book. I couldn't put it down. I read it, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Great book. He has like two or three novels out.
Yeah. But yeah, that chapter, dog, like, it fucked with me hard, man. Like, it definitely shaped one of the ways I view consent and sex when I was young. Like, I read it when I was really young, and it definitely was like, that was wrong. And I never want to be involved in anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be a person that would take that from somebody. I don't want to have friends like that. I just could not. Like, it. So, yeah. Anyway, while police talked to Meander and Sanders, the two players began texting each other about what they were saying to investigators. Police say they got consent to look at the two men's phones and found at least one photo of the victim on Sanders' phone.
He never deleted the phone.
One of the texts wasn't delete the picture. Well, all the texts are just like, hey, what you saying? I'm saying we ain't do it. Oh, shit, my bad.
They couldn't meet up and have that conversation?
Nah, they were being interrogated. So they started texting on their phone.
They're saying during the interrogation.
During the interrogation, yes. While police talked to Meander and Sanders, the two began texting each other about what they were saying to investigators.
They ain't take their phones.
Yeah, hey, man, what you saying? I ain't saying shit. Oops, my bad, dude. What you say? Hold on. I said
they said that little thought bubble on the iPhone, the little bubble that pops up to show that you typing.
Then the next text is, "This is the police. We know you did it.
Give us your cell phone, sir."
Both players were released on personal recognizance bonds soon after being booked. The American Statesman talked to Brian Rourke, the lawyer who represents Sanders. He told the paper that he is innocent, though, and eventually that will be proven. Okay. Good luck, man. I hope he is innocent.
Yeah, I mean, innocent till proven guilty, as they say, but
to be quite honest, man, every time I read one of these stories, I hope they're innocent and I hope it didn't happen, because that's the best case scenario, honestly.
But it's
best case scenario is somebody straight up made all this up. Nobody was in the room with them.
The difference between this allegation and a lot of other ones that we read, so many details.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the fact of the flash went off. I don't know who took it, but the flash did go off. And then
they
only
have a
one
picture.
Of them has the phone with a picture.
They have the picture. I don't know how the fuck they can be innocent.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. she, what she's saying kind of matches up with the evidence of, yeah. And they have the phone, the picture in their phone.
Right.
To back up that she said. Otherwise, it would have been like, but she didn't even know they took a picture of them.
Yep. Even if best case scenario, matter of fact, yeah, best case scenario, they had to have been having sex with her, took a picture without her permission and try, and then she did this as retaliation. That's actually the best case scenario, because I forgot there's a picture of them. Before, I was like, best case scenario is they weren't even there. Yeah. Best case scenario is they did it, it was consensual, and then something happened afterwards. And that's the best case. You know what I mean?
I don't see it going down that way.
Yeah, I can't, like, nigga, y'all going to jail, bro.
Yeah, I think you and I have lived long enough in certain environments to recognize they probably did it.
Yeah.
And
do not pass go. They fucked up. Do not collect $200.
They fucked up, and, you know, they get whatever they get. You know what I mean?
I have no sympathy for that shit. You're more than old enough to know better.
Right.
It's really not a confusing topic anymore. Like, it's like, as much as people get mad about women on Twitter talking about street harassment, I think we all know then rape is definitely over the line.
Yep. And here's the other thing too, for them to say these guys didn't know any better, you know, oh, they youthful, made a mistake, XYZ. Nope. They using that free college, these college educated people that we talking
right.
about. Cause that's what you say is by being a student athlete, you getting that college education. So it's inexcusable to be like, well, you know, he can shape society, but he didn't know he shouldn't be raping women out here when they say, no, I don't want to have sex.
Yep. I'm just saying, dog. They knew they was wrong. Why would they text each other about trying to lie to the cops?
Well, hopefully somebody didn't see them and say, I like you.
I want you.
And I want you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe hope.
I'm not even one of those people that I'm trying to be above that, man, but I can't help myself.
No, be petty. Be petty with me.
I'm trying to be
Don't make me be petty by myself.
Nah.
Especially when because Damon will be petty with me. Yeah. Damon and I have fun being petty.
Nah,
I'm just trying to be above it all.
I'm trying, man.
There you go, trying to move on up. Oh, how sedity is.
Move up the ladder.
Oh, fancy ass.
See.
Oh, I'm better than your ass.
The dark-skinned brother trying to be better than light-skinned brother.
Oh, I'm dark-skinned better than your light-skinned ass.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to be above that, but I can't help myself. I just be like, death penalty for these niggas, take them off of the earth, hurt them, torture them. I want to, like, all that negative shit is all inside my brain.
And you
trying
know,
to be above it.
And here's the other thing, man. For any of you dudes that be like, well, you know, I mean, she could have did X, Y, and Z. If it was your mama, your sister, God forbid that happened to my niece. You know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know how I would respond to that. I don't imagine it being in a positive way. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I just don't see how cats do that. Like, I can't relate to that. I don't know. Y'all are different than me. For those of y'all who agree, but doing it in silence, cause we shaming you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's to me, that happens a lot, because it's amazing how when people talk about these things, everybody want to. A lot of people treat sexual assaults and a lot of crimes against women like they treat racism and like they treat being gay, for the fact that it doesn't happen to me. I don't see it every day, so it just don't exist.
And if you're a college athlete that's, you own the team and you can't get laid for when there's a million groupies out here? You really have to look and reflect on yourself.
Oh, they can, but they just wanted her.
And
not
that whole power thing.
Some of these dudes,
that goes with rape,
right?
Like,
right.
I just don't.
It's hard to imagine from our point of view, but I think it's 100% true. This is not like, that's the thing people throw out there is like, so you could go and get with any girl you want. Why the hell would you even be a rapist? This doesn't even make sense. Obviously, they didn't do it. It's like, well, because rapists don't think like you and me.
No, they don't.
They think taking it is the good part. That's
true.
The fun, not the sex. It's,
yeah,
we took it from her. She was crying. I can't even imagine having sex with somebody that just starts crying.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, fuck it. This is what I wanted. Like,
right.
Even if it was the good cry, like, oh, I just missed you. So I'm like, are you okay? Like, you need to take five, because I can wait. This is not what I'm into.
I'm so glad Mike Tomlin started setting up women that agreed to pretend to get raped, but they really
were
in
man.
On it from Roethlisberger.
Carmella Anthony begins new firm.
He saved a lot of women out here.
Signed to the New York Knicks for another 5 seasons. Carmelo Anthony is already looking to life after basketball. On Monday, Anthony announced the creation of the M7 Tech Partners, a venture capital firm whose only partners are Anthony and Stuart Gold. And Stuart Goldfarb.
He is one to hog everything.
The former CEO of Bertelsmann, the world's largest direct marketer of music, video, and books. For as long as I can remember, I've been interested in technology, Anthony said in a statement.
It's just like when Michael Flacco wanted to go to college, too.
Right.
He was good at math.
We are actively looking for ventures with strong leadership that resonate with customers. I wonder if he read that I'm a cue guard.
Hey, man. How much money do you think they're going to steal from Carmelo before he realized this is a bad idea?
Lots.
Six years from now, when he's on Broke Part 2, I'm going to be like, this nigga fucking with them white folks. Just go to the bank and get your interest and leave it at that.
Did Lala approve of this?
You know, Lala probably going to make it the reality show when they go broke. Yeah. You know, VH1, My Broke Life. Me and Carmelo.
But on a whole another note, why so serious? Like, why we can't joke Ben Raplesburg out here and Mike Tomlin doing the Lord's
work? Hey, man, can we just move on?
He doing the Lord's work.
Can we just move on, man?
Mike Tomlin is doing the Lord's work.
Come on, man. Can we just move on? 4 women got really raped by Ben Raplesburg. I'm not going to say it was a scandal. I'm not going to say it was like that Tomlin was in on it. The only black coach I can respect now.
No, I'm saying.
He only got one left.
I'm saying he out here saving women. Like, he hired actors. He hired women that be like, look. I know you actually want to have sex with him, but I want you to pretend like he's taking it, okay?
I'm not tainting his legacy with this bullshit. When he retired, we're going to be like, he was a great coach. And he stayed the fuck away from being and his personal problem. They got nothing to do with him.
He cured.
Somehow he was able to handle that distraction that Tony Dungy couldn't. So Anthony noted, that he was particularly intrigued with wearable and connected devices. Carmelo.
Like Bluetooth?
Goldfarb said Carmelo's in his prime right now. He has built an incredible global brand and is now interested in building his future while his brand is on the rise.
Wireless
headphones?
Yo, these niggas are talking is such, like, this is that thing where people that's about to steal your money talk to you in a smart way and it make you feel stupid, so you give them your money. Like when I got that car insurance the other day, when it was like, sir, the deductible. I mean, you don't want to be charged twice for the deductible, do you? Like, I guess. I mean, obviously, I'm smart enough to know that. Sir, it'll just be $30 a day. Well, I don't know. $30 a day seems kind of stupid. You're right. Maybe we shouldn't insure the keys and the tires. You were insuring the keys and the tires? Of course we were insuring the keys and the tires, sir. It's very expensive. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll take it. I mean, I guess. That's how Carmelo giving up his money right now. Well, don't you want to commoditize your global brand? Yes. That'll be an extra million.
Melo sit there right there like, so if I'd have went 2 more years at Syracuse, I might would have learned a little bit more about this.
What kind of things in technology are you interested in? iPhones and like Beats by Dre.
Yeah, I want flying cars. Can we?
Let's stick to what we know. You seem to be resonating with our paradigm shift in the unification of the market.
I like playing online on my Xbox.
Yeah. Well, see, that's because you need to think about the global worldview. And that's the kind of things that we like to have synergy about. So that'll be an extra $2 million. Yeah, just write the check to me.
Instead of buying a Popeyes.
So what would $2 million this will go to?
Oh, yeah. $2 million, of course, is going to invest in futures. We're definitely going to try to get you into wearable technology. Want to put you in a maximum yield situation. So, matter of fact, make it $4 million.
Do you have any numbers on this?
Yeah. We will be getting back to you with plenty of numbers. right now, the number you need to be focused on is number one, baby. Just headed towards number one on the New York Stock Exchange. So we're going to make sure that your name's going to be in bright lights.
Woo-hoo! Right? Woo-hoo! Let's pop these bottles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. All right. And thank you, sucker. He says he is building incredible global brands, now interested in building his future wise brand is on the rise. Goldfarb said the two haven't put a minimum or maximum on how much they will invest in the coming years.
Uh-oh.
I feel like that's because the maximum is what Melo just made, 126, right, or whatever. We haven't put a maximum, but let's just say we're thinking around $130 million. Though the firm's announcement was accompanied by news of his first investment, M7 has become an equity partner in Hullabaloo, an interactive children's story company.
What the hell's a Hullabaloo?
Hullabaloo. What I do notice is you can't spell Hullabaloo without La La. Interesting.
Hullabaloo sound like a show on Nick Jr.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. It's time for Hullabaloo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Strange characters and shit,
right? Flying pigs.
It's an independent company creating the next generation of stories for kids.
I just
went to the site and you can click.
Oh, look at this strange, right, ass character.
I told you it sound like some shit on Nick Jr. I watch a lot of Nick Jr., so it sound like some shit on Nick Jr.
Yeah, the you put your mouse on there and it starts moving around, this little panda and shit that's purple.
Yeah, start speaking Spanish. Mm. Hola, Hullabaloo. So hola.
Is this wearable technology?
This doesn't look like wearable technology at all.
That's not wearable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cute little thing. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's just very cute. They got little stories here.
And it got hell spelled in the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hello. Oh, okay.
They got a little 1 minute cartoon they probably paid somebody to do.
You know they did.
Press play on this for Mello. Look, Mello, look. See, that's what we're going to be selling.
Only a couple months ago, she learned the truth about her parents, and she left the Barabolt clouds in search of them. This fall, join Pan as she encounters a new tribe of warrior bunnies.
Oh, the animation on this joint is terrible.
oh, no. What kind of, why does it seem so scary?
Oh, Mello. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
no.
No, Mello. No.
And the wise keeper who guides them.
You're mine, thief.
New friendships form.
You secretly want to be my friend, don't you? Don't you?
No. Ancient secrets are uncovered. Why were you trespassing our keep?
You can't make me talk.
And their journey.
Why is the music so much louder than the character's words? You can't even hear them. This is for deaf children? What the fuck? Oh, Mello. Goldfarb said the firm's interest could gravitate towards sports on occasions. But we'll mainly focus investing in companies that have products that deeply resonate with us. Anthony agreed to a 5-year, $125 million deal with the Knicks that will soon be gone. I editorialized a little bit. Just a little bit.
It was accurate, though.
Fuck with these white folks, man. Gotta be careful, man.
All I can say is, good luck, Mello. I wish you well. And I love you.
Mm-hmm.
All these distractions.
Andrew Bonham back in the news.
Where? Is he finally retiring?
The oft-injured number 10 pick in the 2005 draft is considering sitting out next season. in order to undergo Regenokine knee therapy procedure.
Didn't Kobe try to get him involved in this like 5 years ago? He was like, "Nah, I'm good."
Is that what Regenokine is? Is that the same thing?
That's what Kobe doing, ain't it? Yeah.
I don't know. Regenokine?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Y'all keep saying that. I've never read this word before in my life. I don't know.
Kobe regenerated his knees.
Yeah, Kobe had new knees put on.
I know. And zero gravity and shit.
Regenokine therapy. Is a patented procedure where the knee heals itself.
Yeah, you can't do it here in the United States. Kobe had to go overseas.
This deal sounds worse than Melo's deal. Because if my body can heal itself, what the fuck am I paying you for?
Yeah, Brian did it. Kobe did it. He went from a possibly career-ending injury to being back on the court. So I guess this is okay.
Yeah, I don't think they do it here in the United States.
Alex Rodriguez did it for knee and shoulder pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Well, sounds like work ethic probably matters for this.
Right.
So I'm assuming this is the end of his career. The non-surgical procedure uses injections to help grow new cartilage and requires an extra long rehab. Lee said Bonham is considering doing the program with German Dr. Peter Wellig, who has worked with Kobe Bryant and Alex Rodriguez in the past. The procedure is not approved in the United States. If Bonham successfully completes the program, he can return in 2015-2016, according to Lee, who said the Knicks potentially would be interested in the seven-footer. They already targeting Phil Jackson in that money.
Hey, look, man. Phil Jackson got a target on his forehead. And this is sucker.
That Knicks job, man. That shit do it to you every time. Every time. Anybody take that job over trying to fix things, the vultures be coming out like, Isaiah, I heard you got some money.
Right.
Knicks you back. Interested in a 400-pound center named Eddie Curry?
Knicks back, baby. Knicks mm-hmm. back.
We this, got you.
This is the thing, man. Phil was the first one to see that this is easy money right here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get as many of my people on as I can to get some of this easy money.
Yep. If he's healthy, Phil Jackson will be interested, Lee told the Post, referring to the Knicks team president who coached Bonham with the Lakers. Phil knew how to tap into Andrew. They got along famously. Okay.
Man,
Phil probably got a chapter in the book already waiting.
Phil got young Bonham, though.
Well, he probably already wrote a chapter on him. He just ain't said nothing because he don't want to ruin the sales for the book yet, but pretty sure we'll get that book in 2017.
I mean, the fact that he has to sit out an entire year to heal when Kobe would get it done during the right. summer and be right back out there.
Right.
Clearly says it's not going to work.
The last time he played was 24 games for the Cavs last year, who traded him to the Bulls. The Bulls waived him. He signed with the Pacers, playing just two games. Mm-hmm. Remember how that was supposed to be a big deal? and we was like, nope. Everybody thought we was just hating. I'm like, man, what about his knees?
His knees did sign up for this.
Yeah.
His knees want to go bowling.
I don't think that Regina kind therapy is the kind of therapy that Andrew Bonham needs. I think he need like a actual therapist to be like, what's wrong with your childhood?
Right.
Like, tell us about your relationship with your mother, knees.
Hey, his knees need Dwayne Wade ex-wife. Siobhan.
Yeah.
That's what his knees need.
His knees need the therapist from Sopranos to sit down and talk to him about their day.
Analyze this.
Yeah. You know what? Looking at his knees, I'm going to have to diagnose you with clinical depression. And we're going to need to get you on some type of medicine to help you out, balance you out. He got manic depressive knees. They just wake up some days and be like, everything is terrible. I hate my life. I'm done. We done playing. I'm done. I'm not going to work today. Just going to lay in the bed and sleep all day.
Bonham be like, but we got responsibilities.
Yeah, but what about our job? No. No, Andrew. Don't you love me? And then they start cutting themselves.
I'm running away.
Yeah, I'm running away. Oh, actually, I can't run. I'm laying here. I'm laying down. Justin Blackman was arrested for his third time. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver in distraction has been arrested a third time. This time in Edmond, Oklahoma, where police are charging with possession of that weed. Several Oklahoma TV stations, including KWTV News 9 in Oklahoma City, reported that the Edmond Police Department officers who stopped Blackman for a traffic violation could smell the odor of marijuana coming from his car.
Probably just put the blunt out.
Mm-hmm. That powerful sticky. Police searched the car and found marijuana and took him into custody. He has posted bail, was released to custody. Blackman is currently serving an indefinite suspension after his third violation of the NFL substance abuse policy.
Woo.
He was suspended the first four games of 2013 because of his second violation, which occurred sometime in the offseason after the 2012 season in which he caught 64 passes, 865 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Speaking to reporters Thursday afternoon, Jaguars owner Shad Khan said he sees no reason for his team to cut ties with Blackman because he's not gay.
Right. But he can't stay off motherfucking drugs. Okay.
I mean, I know he was smoking weed, but was he smoking cock? Then he can play. We want him to get the help he needs, says Khan. This is Blackman's third arrest and second in Oklahoma. He was arrested in Texas in 2010 for a DUI.
I have a question. Blackman ain't black, is he?
He is black. Hell yeah, he's black. Oh. He's black as fuck. After police officers caught him speeding outside of Dallas, he was arrested again in June 2012 during a traffic stop. And after a breath test, allegedly showed his blood alcohol content to be 3 times the legal limit. The arrest put him in the NFL substance abuse program. Right now, all I can say is I'm just praying that he can get the help that he needs, says Jaguars coach Gus Bradley, who really needs that job, and this nigga's fucking it up. Teammates seem hardly surprised by Blackman's latest transgression. Isn't that sad? They seem hardly surprised. Chad Henne said, it's a difficult situation. It's kind of ongoing. All we can do is pray that he finds a way to get on the right track and save his life. Damn, you know it's bad when they're talking about saving your life. You an addict.
Is marijuana really that bad? Why didn't he just, why didn't he just do these things where marijuana is legal?
Yeah, like, go to... Like, yeah, it's the off season. So, like, you don't even have to technically be in the fucking,
Oklahoma.
Yeah, you could go be in, like, Seattle and be fine. I mean, I'm sure you can't drive with it, but in general, you could just get high before you leave the house or some shit.
Go to California. Like, it's a multitude of states. And, yeah. And it's not like he was in Miami someplace fun trying to smoke. He was in Oklahoma, dog.
Yeah.
Trying to smoke out.
Mother stupid.
Hi everyone.
I have some of the footage from the meeting because he was in a rehab meeting in Oklahoma.
My name is Thurgood.
Hi. Hi, James Blackman.
Hi. I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I seen them.
Well, that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
Huh?
No. No, I can't say I have.
I didn't think so.
Boo this man!
Boo!
Boo this man.
Yeah. So boo, that's the footage, man. Of the footage of the rehab.
Oh, hilarious movie.
But yeah, he's, Paul.
Yes, that didn't go well for him.
Linebacker Paul Posluszny says this is no longer a football issue. As his teammates, you can hope he can do everything he can to get his life squared away. We feel for him. We obviously want the best for him because he's a good kid at heart. We want the best for him. We hope that he can come out of this. He's a good guy. He's fighting through some things now. Hopefully he's able to fix that and get his life back in on the right. So, they did draft, some receivers. So. They, all this talk, they definitely not waiting. Anyway, lucky for everybody, it's the Jaguars, so nobody really cares what Justin Blackman does, because fantasy wise it's irrelevant. But yeah, thought that was an interesting story.
Very interesting. It's high on life.
The Bulls making a push for Kevin Love. Look, I'd read all this, but don't we all know this is bullshit?
Right.
Come on, man. They just trying to drive the price up for this nigga for the Cavs, man. They just like, it's that thing where they're just like, nobody gonna try to drive up the Pelicans? Nobody else want Kevin Love? Just the Cavs? Y'all just gonna let him go? Y'all just gonna help LeBron James out? Okay, fuck it. I want him. I'll take him. It's like, how you gonna fit on the team? I don't know.
Like, oh, no.
I offer him the max. That's what I give him, the max.
He can play small forward, I guess.
Right. Yeah. But they just got Josh McBuckets for that shit. So I don't know. Interesting.
Shooting guard. He can play shooting guard.
Right. Maybe we can put him at point for Derrick Rose.
Well, we know D Rose won't be playing.
Man, you know how big this team would be with Pau Gasol, Joakim Noah, Kevin Love. Like, this team will be big as shit.
All the rebounds.
Yeah. Good grief.
Well, nobody stand a chance.
Man, they'll be trying to, imagine how Powell feel trying to be, he on the trading block again. He ain't even dressed out yet. He was like, fuck, I can't go nowhere without getting traded.
Yeah. Kevin Love. Man, whatever. Who they gonna trade for him?
I want to see the headline when Minnesota's like, well, we said we agreed to the deal with the Bulls, and then they backed out somehow. Like, we were just playing.
Yeah. That's, oh, my bad. I didn't know y'all wasn't serious. James Harden said Dwight and I are the cornerstone of the Rockets. The rest of the guys are role players. The rest of the guys are role players.
He a role player. What is we talking about?
If Chandler Parsons is looking for bulletin board material for next season, it's going to be pretty easy to find. First, Dwight Howard said the Rockets loss of Parsons won't affect us at all. Shit. Which is kind of what you expect Howard to say. Still, it's a bit of a diss. Then James Harden took it another step. Harden is in the Philippines for an event he can't actually play in and spoke with the Philippine star about a variety of issues. But when asked about the loss of Parsons and the other roster moves, Harden said this. Dwight and I are the cornerstone of the Rockets. The rest of the guys are role players or pieces that complete our team. We've lost some pieces and added some pieces. I think we'll be fine next season.
And that's an insult to the players that are working with you. Like, this just fucks all the team chemistry up, don't it?
They probably heard that from their coach.
You know what, man? I kind of like it. At first, I didn't, but now I read it.
I think it's funny.
I think it's
not that it is.
It's the kind of shit that me and Justin said to water people. But we'd be like, man, you're shooting too much. Like, you're a role player. Like, you're not, get a ball up. But at the same time, it's bad. It's bad for him. I only do that.
Professionally, yes.
Yeah, I only do that to people I joke with and shit.
We'll say it to each other because we know it's tactless to say it to them.
Yeah, we wouldn't say it to them to their face typically.
So it's funny.
Anymore. We used to. We used to back in the day.
It's funny, but.
Yeah.
I don't think Dwight's that good for him to be like, what a cornerstone of the team. Like, it's. Like you now so now when things go wrong, you also saying it's y'all fault, and I don't know that those two guys can handle that, which is different from Rod now because we can handle it with the game being our fault if we lose.
Yeah, you don't want to take responsibility for the team when they do bad. Like that's why you left LA, right? Because you didn't want the spotlight, right? Right. Am I the only one that understands this? Because you're not going to get that same pressure in Houston.
Well, I think he left because the tickets to fly the 15-year-old girls out is cheaper to Houston.
That's
LA. Oh, yeah. LA plane tickets can be quite expensive.
Apparently, yep.
And the hotel rooms a little more costly.
Hotel rooms, yeah. Mm-hmm. Room service.
I understand.
Yeah.
A reminder, LeBron James is a freak genius. Brian Windhorst wrote a new profile on LeBron. It's pretty good. But one of the things that's crazy is LeBron James can remember shit like all the moves from the video game Shaq Fu.
He played Shaq Fu? Why was he even playing Shaq Fu?
That's number one. Number two.
He was a kid probably when that came out.
He played it long enough to memorize it with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, we used to play this fighting game on the Sega Genesis called Shaq Fu, said Brandon Weems, James' lifelong friend. LeBron was the only one who had memorized all the moves, so he'd win every time. We all thought he was definitely cheating. Memorizing all the manipulations with the joystick, the A, B, and C buttons back in the day before it could be Googled, the Inferno Kick was down toward the player with the C button pressed. But only with the Shaq character, mind you, is the one thing. When James started adding pathological layers as he got older, that's when he really started messing with his friends. When you play Madden with him now, you have to be careful which teams you take because he will know what your game plans were from the past when you played with him, and he'll pick the opposing team knowing what plays you want to run, says Wings, now an assistant basketball coach at Oakland University.
And that's why he's a superstar.
You better save your favorite play, too, because he'll remember what you ran before in situations and be ready for it. Your only hope is to save it until the end and try to surprise him with it. Now, this kind of all-knowing character is actually even more impressive than the freak stories about LeBron remembering who was guarding whom on some random play or where he took a shot from 5 years prior out of a timeout or who's going to run where and how on the defensive scheme when he last saw it 3 years ago. Players have long memories for this. Stories of other guys like John Wall have started to be passed around since LeBron as a hard drive stories have come into vogue. Even half decent poker players can rattle off with accuracy a gross number of hands they played 10 years ago. But memorizing everything down to special moves and shitty games and your dumb friends' dumb Madden tendencies is equal parts scary genius and psycho competitive. At least as much about any story you heard about Jordan cheating at cards. LeBron's fable is being so smart, it's like he's cheating. So I just thought that was an interesting story, man.
I believe that.
And I believed it. Yeah, that was the other part.
Yeah.
You like, stop looking at my hand, LeBron. You're like, man, I don't need to look at your hand, nigga. You in the 3-4.
No comment, because I like LeBron.
Yeah. So you think you're looking in their hands.
No comment. You're not going to. I'm not Tony Dungy. You're not going to get me to.
Go ahead. Go ahead and say what you really think, man.
Go ahead and say what you got to say, Sway.
No comment. I will stick with no comment.
You ain't got nothing to say?
LeBron James gave all his neighbors some cupcakes.
That was nice of him.
Because people were standing in front of his yard and shit like that.
I bet you the cupcakes were delicious.
Yo, he the man, dog. such a smooth gentleman.
I bet you they from one of the best bakery in town.
He probably
what
had
kind of frosting they have?
Hand delivered.
He said, we know things have been hectic, and this sounds like he gave everybody a box of cupcakes.
Right.
Not like my black ass would have been like, come get your cupcake.
Hey, cupcake.
Hey, right. hey, dog. Hey, mm, yeah. One.
No, you know what? What happened was that during the middle of the day, trucks of the cupcake company just came riding down the neighborhood and went from door to door to door to door.
Yeah.
The door.
I would have been standing out front like, not that one. That's mine.
Now, what I would have done was been like, look, I want the ones y'all plan on throwing away because I want a discount because I'm ordering so many.
Right. Yeah. I would have been. Yeah.
All the day old cupcakes.
I'd be like, let me get the stale cupcakes. How much are those? Oh, don't throw that in the trash. Hold up.
Yeah.
Hold up now. How, let's work something out.
Half off of these, right?
Yeah.
75% if I order more than a box.
I call them right before they close at 9:59. Hold up now. Hold up. Don't put that in the trash. But yeah, he bought cupcakes for everybody. Put flyers on the door and said, you know, sorry for the chaos. So classy gentleman. And that's why we fuck with him.
Mm-hmm. I bet you they were delicious.
Ironically, for all the things I love about Kobe, he does the opposite and I like him just the same.
A Browns fan dressed in Ed Reed's jersey went to Art Modell's grave and pissed on it and filmed it and put it on the internet.
Why? What was the purpose?
They hate. He the one that sold the team, and then they moved to
Baltimore and became the Baltimore Ravens, and they won the Super Bowl.
Okay,
I think they won two Super Bowls actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland still ain't won shit. So
yep.
Apparently, this dude. I guarantee this dude went fresh from burning his LeBron James jersey. to like, well, he's back. I guess I get back to hating the Ravens. but yeah, man. He peed on him.
I don't know why he wore the Ed Reed jersey instead of a current Cleveland Brown jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pisses on the graves and then he throws the words back in his face and says, as far as pissing on your grave, I had no choice. He growls. Not unlike the manager of the fictional Cleveland Indians in Major League, before chastising the folk who would tell him to get over it, he says, fuck you, you let it go. So people are like, let it go. He's, fuck you. You let it go first.
These people are really, I don't understand their fandom.
Man, it must suck to never win anything and be that bitter. Because Hornets ain't never won shit, but I ain't never been like,
right.
Wait till I find Bob Johnson's grave and piss on it. Like,
yeah,
is it nothing to do in Cleveland?
Or George Sheehan. Like, I'm mad at George Sheehan.
Yeah, like, you don't
not
have
re-signing.
Nothing.
To, not, he couldn't keep Lonzo
and LJ
together.
He don't have, like, y'all don't have nothing better to do. Like, George Sheehan did shit on our city and leave and go to New Orleans and didn't give a fuck. And I never thought to myself, like, I can't wait till he's dead.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna drink a full 40, go to his grave,
and piss on it,
put it on YouTube and let the world know.
Nah.
I'm not over it yet.
I never cared that much.
Like, don't you have a woman to be domestically violent to? If you that type of obsessive person? You don't have an ex you can be standing outside her driveway pissing on her car?
No, not that, let's not involve the women. How about torturing a pet or something?
Yeah, you don't. I mean, just, I mean, you petty. You don't have a workplace to shoot up? Like, if you just got this level of petty, you should have some shit going on in your life that is more important than this petty shit. I don't know how to let things go.
Apparently in Cleveland they don't.
Yeah.
The Cleveland,
like, you don't have a father that fucked up your life that you can't piss on his grave?
I'm gonna have to go state of Ohio. No disrespect.
A sports owner?
I'm gonna have to go state.
A sports owner? Come on, man. Dwayne Wade got asked a good question in his camp by a little
why
kid.
Why didn't he wear condoms?
No, one kid asked me, why did I flop? And I was about to get him kicked out of the camp. I thought about it, but I know that, you know, his parents is up there probably. But yeah, he said it like 3 times. I thought he was joking. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, why did you flop? So his dad put him up to that. Spurs fan.
Never answered the question.
Why didn't he answer the question?
Because his answer ain't that important.
If you had a question to ask D Wade, what would y'all ask? One question.
How does it feel? Mm-hmm. How does it feel to know that you gave up that $42 million?
Right.
Like, are you really mad at LeBron or not? Like, be honest for a second. How you feel about LeBron right now at this moment?
What about you, Karen? No questions.
Not really. Oh, did they have to put you on suicide watch? Yeah. That's my question.
Oh, man. You obviously, I would ask him.
Break, baby.
I would ask him, how many other children does he have? And is that his real nephew or is that his son?
Yeah.
I believe it's his son. I don't think it's his nephew.
Me too. Donald Sterling has filed another lawsuit against his wife in the NBA, accusing them of defrauding him out of the Clippers and demanding that sale to TV block. The suit filed yesterday. Yeah. You knew this was going to happen. The suit filed yesterday in Los Angeles Superior Court named Shelly Sterling and Adam Silver in the NBA and accused them of fraud, breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, and a slew of other violations.
Why hasn't he sued Magic Johnson yet for being big bad Magic Johnson?
Yeah. This dude's suing everybody.
Like, that's who you should be suing, is Magic Johnson, for being big bad Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Taking pictures with your mistress and stuff.
I wonder if anybody's taking this shit serious. I'll tell you who I'm not taking serious. I hate to do this, but Tiger Woods thinks he need to go for the Ryder Cup, man. He need to get picked. You know, the Ryder Cup is the competition one where they, like, go over, like, it's between the British and, I think it's between the British and Americans or some shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it'd be the best.
Yeah, and they all, US. Like, match up and play, like, the best matchup wins and shit. Even after finishing at his worst 72-hole finish in a major, Tiger Woods says he would pick himself for the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
I know he would, but they're not going to pick you, sir.
In this second tournament since March 31st, his back surgery, Woods closed with 3 over 75 in the British Open. That put him at 6 over 294 and was better than only two players who had finished. Whew. Previously, his worst finish was a tie for 40th. Woods has only two tournaments left to impress the Ryder Team Cup captain, the Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson. Woods says Watson has to pick the best 12 Americans to win back the cup, and that he hopes he is one of them. Woods was a captain pick in 2010. Will he endure the public divorce and begin changing his swing?
Because the thing about it is that now, is he what he used to be? No. But if you're looking at TV ratings, especially here in the United States, you pick him. Because if not, nobody's motherfucking watching.
That's their concussion talking. That's their concussion talking. That's not really Tiger. The concussion has him confused about his skills.
No.
At the present time.
Oh, okay.
I think.
The concussion changed his swing.
Mm-hmm. No.
The concussion got him where he don't ask women anymore about, do they want to see his dick?
Hold on.
Like, it's all the concussion talking. Regular Tiger is still sending out dick pics and taking chicks to Denny's and that sort of thing. Nope.
No.
This is a concussion talking.
No, I don't think it's a concussion. I think, like a lot of athletes, it's one of those things where sometimes what you think you are and what's the reality don't match up, honestly. But when it comes to Tiger Woods makes money. Because didn't we read an article how hundreds of golf courses shut down? Why? Because Tiger Woods' black ass went there, so people wouldn't practice in their golf swings?
Yeah, thousands of people quit golf last year.
Right. So if you want them ratings, you will pick him.
Mm-hmm. Is he in the top 12? Is he listed, ranked in the top 12? I mean, if he ranked in the top 12, you got to pick him.
I have no idea.
But I don't think he's ranked, and that's probably why he's saying it.
I think you just do it for the money. I would.
Right.
I put him on TV for the money.
Yeah, because if not, nobody give a fuck about the Ryder's Cup. I know I don't.
The NCAA removed the name, likeness, release form that student athletes had to sign.
have to sign.
Yep, they removed it. No more. You don't have to sign it anymore. Because them niggas lost that lawsuit. They scared.
They forcing you to sign something to say we can do what we want to with your likeness.
Happens all the time.
If you want to go to school.
Maverick Carter said the LeBron James decision was in his heart and he didn't tell anybody. He said, we didn't push him to do it. We don't push him to do anything. If we ask our opinion of what did we think about the pros and the cons, we help him think through it. We don't push him. James decided to return to the Cavs. We all know that. Opting out of his Miami contract. Listen, Carter said, LeBron's a 29-year-old man with lots of money, got a wife, two kids, one on the way. He makes his own decisions. He doesn't need anyone pushing him anyway. And a guy like that, you're not going to push him either way. We'll help him think through things and help him see through things, but he makes his own decision in his heart because ultimately he has to live with it. I'm not the one who has to show up and play games for any team.
Right.
Carter said he wasn't sure if James would have made a different decision if the Heat had beaten San Antonio for the NBA title in June. It would have been Miami's third championship in 4 years with LeBron on the team. Logic says, how could he not? Carter says, you got to go for four. But who knows? The decision about Cleveland was bigger than basketball. It was in his heart. He also said that James and Dwayne Wade will be friends for life and that James told Wade before the Sports Illustrated article was released of his decision. Carter did not know exactly when James told Wade. Their friendship goes beyond basketball, Carter said. It's bigger than basketball. He also said that he, as well as James, has nothing but good things to say about the Heat or their management. The Heat running for, man, these niggas are learning. God, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, these dudes were just some niggas not too long ago. Now you on there talking in that corporate speak.
Yeah, they done got educated. They done grew up. They about that money. It's about being professional now.
Not burning no bridges. The Heat run a first-class organization. They have one of the best organizations in all of sports. Just being around that organization, I think LeBron learned a ton about what it takes to be a champion organization and how it works. We had a fantastic time with the Heat and really enjoyed it.
I wish Shaq would have learned that in his career.
Right, because it would have made a difference.
Carter was asked about his budding relationship with Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel, who recently signed on to have Carter manage some of his business affairs. Carter said he and Manziel talk at least every other day. He also defended Manziel as a 21-year-old man who's got to live his life. He's not hurting anyone. He's not beating anyone up or doing anything that's criminal. Have fun. People will adjust.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And
somewhere, some other athlete just said, Mike. Might need to sign with Maverick Carter now.
Right.
And them.
Mm-hmm.
And them. Right.
And you know what?
You're going to get a team.
And I guarantee you, they probably have, you know, when they be like, oh, LeBron's meeting with Jay-Z again. LeBron's doing this with Jay-Z, but he's never signed with Jay-Z. Because they friends. Jay-Z probably be like, look, man, this how I handle this thing. This how I do X, Y, and Z.
Well, because Jay knows it makes him look good to his current athletes when he's now an agent. Mm-hmm. Hey, I hang out with LeBron sometimes. You know what I mean? It's good. Hey, maybe you want to meet LeBron? All right, well, sign with me, Russell Wilson, when your contract's up. First thing you got to do, though, you got to lose that white wife.
Oh, he did.
All right. He want to do that interracial. Not in this agency.
Nah, not mine.
This agency, that's a distraction.
Tony Dungeon doesn't deal with gays. I don't deal with IR, okay? Kendra Wilkinson and Hank Basket will have their cheating drama air on their reality show.
Is anybody surprised?
Kendra Wilkinson spotted without her ring.
Of course, she flushed that shit down the toilet.
Yep. When reality camera, that's why you don't marry people that are gold diggers, because they don't really appreciate that shit.
Yep.
Like, if I would have gave that ring to Karen and then got caught cheating, I might have to go, but the ring won't.
Oh, no. Yeah. The ring ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, but these chicks that's after this money that just think they can go find another rich man, I don't know. $5 million down to the... Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Because I was mad.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I had that ring on forever. They be like, you married. I'm sure, like, I got divorced, but you got that ring on because it was $5 million. Well,
no, mm-hmm. You'll just have it put in a different setting and wear it on a different finger.
Right.
Right. Like, I make a whole set. That shit would be a ring, a necklace, and some earrings. But that shit ain't going down the toilet.
Like, it's diamonds. Right. It's $5 million in diamonds.
Right. How do you do something?
I make a tennis bracelet, an anklet. Shit. I ain't fussing that down the toilet.
Like, that was a whole other house for her to move out and take care of her children. That she was like, no, I don't need this. And I hope when she asks for half, he tells the judge that her half, she flushed it down the toilet, and that's where I said, thank you, have a good day.
Yeah, for the record, I think we made all that up, but I'm okay. I'll allow it. When reality cameras are rolling, occasionally they get a glimpse of actual reality. Kendra Wilkinson and Hank Baskin's marital problems will play out on their show, Kendra on Top. Sounds like she was not. Sounds like Hank was on bottom, though. Oh!
But the thing is their show or her show? And
well, it's their show because they're both on it, but it's her show, in my opinion, because her name's in the title. His ain't.
Right.
It's not Kendra and Hank on Top.
Or it's not the Baskins. You know what I mean? Like, it's... And sound like she wasn't on top enough.
Nope. Sound like she might have needed more time on the bottom. We are currently in production of season 3, which will premiere in the fall. Spokesperson for the We Show said in a statement, "We have always followed and will continue to follow the reality of Kendra." So now it's just her show.
Mm-hmm.
"The show was in production when the affair rumors first surfaced, so the entire ordeal will hit the airwaves. The former Girls Next Door star allegedly threw her wedding ring down the toilet after the allegation surfaced." Oh, yeah, that is right. We didn't make that up. "Allegation surfaced that Basket 30. I forgot, man. 31 cheated on her with a transgender model. Well, Kendra was 8 months pregnant.
Hank got to get the custody of the kids, though.
What if he was like, it's not like I was cheating on you with some old pussy. You really going to hold this against me? I just went and got some dick. Jesus. You are, this is the problem. We don't see eye to eye on things. Wilkinson, 29, found out about the supposed affair weeks after giving birth to their second child, daughter Elijah, and it's A-L-I-J-A-H.
He got to get custody, man. She got her name in the kids, all type of crazy shit.
Well, her name Kendra, and she a white woman, so you knew them kids are going to get some crazy names.
I would bring up, even though I married her for being a former playmate, and quit, I bring that shit up as a negative.
Yeah. I'll be slut-shaming like a motherfucker. She's a whore, Your Honor. She slept with, what's that, Hugh Hefner.
Dusty old man with them dusty balls.
Yeah, he put his old wrinkly sack on her every night.
She was in the grotto doing everything, but she's mad at me.
So wait, she can have sacks on her. I can't get a sack on my side of my. Mm-hmm. Okay. They are also parents of 4-year-old son, Hank Jr. Neither Baskin nor his wife of 5 years have publicly addressed the situation. However, Kendra has been spotted around L.A. multiple times without her wedding ring since the claims came out. Meanwhile, the former NFL player was photographed this week smiling with his wedding ring very much on. The couple is still living together in their home. As for what happens next, sources tell Yahoo there's no decisions been made. She is just devastated, says an insider close to the couple. He also adds the drama is all real and not made up for the show. We'll see what happens.
You know, the thing is, even, you know, I'm sometimes I'm big on symbolism. Sometimes I'm not. But wearing your ring doesn't change what's in your heart. So who gives a fuck if he wearing his ring or not? He probably had it on when he was getting some of that extra penis.
Right. It might have been gay marriage ring. Maybe he married to the new dude.
You know what I mean? Like so who gives a fuck if he wearing his ring or not?
I can't remember if it was transgender or transsexual. I didn't even.
It said gender.
Okay, so maybe he's married to the new woman, because transgender, I think it's you still go by the pronoun of female.
Yep.
How's the little girl, Chris Cluey? You know, the underage girl who was caught in a compromising position with two very well known Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote this article?
That one, her. Who is she, Chris? Who is she? Where is she? Do her parents know what happened to her, or is that not your concern? Maybe that little girl is just like all those little boys who were raped by Jerry Sandusky. Not your concern beyond being the punchline to a joke or the hook to an edgy tweet as you use that little girl on Friday night right here. Chris Cluey tweeted, ooh, shall we talk about the time two very well-known Viking players were caught in a compromising situation with an underage girl?
He tweeted that?
Yep. He's having a very, I think it's a lawsuit or arbitration with his former team, the Vikings, saying they got rid of him because he was outspoken about gay marriage and needing to be equality. Come to find out, they did have some issues. They had to let one of their coaches either go or put him on suspension because he said some stuff about gay people. Some of it maybe in jest, maybe not. Whatever, he's gone. Mm-hmm. Now we get to examine the person who made the claims. Uh-oh, Chris Cluey might not be that nice of a guy. So everybody was on his side because it was like, oh, cool, he's for gay marriage. And then you find out, oh, he's also kind of a dick. And that's one of the things. When you decide to be an advocate and an ally in the way that, you know, a lot of these people decide to make it their professional everything, you have to be on all the time. You can't be
all
like,
all the time,
I'm going to be okay with making jokes about these boys getting raped by a dude. But I'm not going to be, but then I expect you never to make a joke about gay people around me.
Yep. And that's the thing, too. So you are aware of a crime and let an innocent young girl get taken advantage of and not corrected the situation.
But for a tweet, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Bet you didn't hear about that one on the news. He says, we can do this all day. Viking special team hears everything. So yeah, this article goes into, you know, how Mike Pryor was the one whose special teams who had the homophobia and shit like that, that he got suspended for 3 games of the 2014 season, one more than Ray Rice, who we'll get to in a second. Over half the team did it for over a month. He said, talking about the Penn State, jokes. Cluey's joke, get it, was directed at the strength coach John Canavy, who is described as Cluey on Twitter as the big Penn State guy. He made some such Sandusky joke once, but said everybody was doing it, so I guess it was okay.
You know, I'm a firm believer in, and if you did something wrong and I can go ahead and turn you in and get that reward money, mm-hmm. That's all they had to do is turn these people in, all these crimes here. Well,
according to the report, whose public release Cluey has been demanding, Cluey used the Sandusky horror in Penn State to set up his joke, which was to walk around the locker room with a hole ripped out of his pants in the back wearing his near his rectum and said he was a Penn State victim.
Is rectum code for asshole?
Asshole, yep. Mm-hmm. Over half the team did it for over a month, including asking him if he raped any little boys lately, repeatedly in front of coaches.
He did it for over a month?
Yeah.
Wow. Because
it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go around. I mean, he can. He's obviously doing it. But it's like that Rashard McCann story. It's, people aren't going to really take it serious now.
Look, dog, you don't have a comedy podcast. Keep this shit on the rapture work. All right? Not everybody's here to see your material. Especially when
you see your stand-up.
Especially when you're going to turn around and then diss the people for making jokes and shit about gay people.
Yep. The same jokes that you are co-signing.
He also said, please remember I choose my words very carefully. Assumptions are your enemy. Oh, I love when they say stupid shit like that. Hey, please know that this is all part of the conspiracy, guys. They're trying to frame me. Mm-hmm.
You know what though? That's the thing about it. When you bringing up everything about everybody's past, they gonna bring up all your shit too.
Right.
And he got stuff like that in his past. He probably has more than other things. He not gonna win.
Yep. Dude called him, that wrote this article and asked him to explain. Tell me what happened with the girl. I'm leaving that part of my story as is. He said, leave it. Cluey did talk about, have some regret for the Penn State joke. That one, the way they reported, the report presented it, it was presented, right. It was presented in a way designed to make me look bad. Yeah, okay.
How could you make that look good?
Nigga, right. You cut a hole in your pants.
So, you know, I was having a moment, you know, my inner Jay Leno, and, you know, I thought it would be funny if I cut a hole right around my rectum, right? You with me so far, guys? You with me? And so right around this time, you know, Penn State was having the issues with
who
the strip coach.
That?
And, you know, the Jerry Sandusky was out there raping the little boys, and so I thought it would be funny, right? Get it? Now here... I wear this pants with the hole in my rectum for like a month. Just like comedy, right? Comedy gold.
And I have a question.
Is that better? Does that
not to mention you have to cut the hole.
Right. And that's my question. Who did you get to cut the hole while you had the pants on? Like,
nah, he probably
that precise.
He probably cut the hole while he had his pants off and then put it on. Either way, that's a lot of work for a joke.
Right.
And then you did it for a month. Nah, you gotta go.
So how he would have presented it? How could he present that and make
Well, he said the intent was to make fun of the culture of Penn State that allowed that to happen. Do whatever it takes to protect the team. If that offended some people, then yes, I'm sorry for offending those people. I realize some people may not like that sort of humor if it comes to speaking truth to power, standing up to blind fanaticism. That's what I'm going to do.
So what
so
about
he's a martyr. He's a martyr, guys.
So what about the other guys who made jokes that he didn't like, then, I mean, some right. people just don't like it, right?
Maybe he was talking about his power joke. I like the people that are like, well, if you make a joke with a certain power dynamic, then it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not. Who decided that? Like, you still making for a guy who calls people out for jokes, sounds like you're still making some pretty edgy shit there.
Yep, very insensitive.
TCU suspended their defensive end, Devontae Fields, Tuesday, pending results of a police investigation into whether he punched a former girlfriend in the head and threatened her with a gun while shouting, I should blast you.
Oh.
He sounds like a first-round draft pick.
Officers say 20-year-old Haley Brown's right cheek was swollen, and she had a cut under her eye when she arrived at Fort Worth at her home early Sunday. Police said no charges were filed, and Fields, the Big 12's preseason defensive player of the year, has not been arrested. An email statement from TCU says the school doesn't tolerate harassment or misconduct by a student, and that the allegations against Fields will go through an internal discipline process while he is separated from the university. Brown, who declined to be taken to the hospital for medical treatment, told police she and Fields dated for 2 years and broke up on June 1st. Brown said she didn't want to press charges, but officers told her a report and a family violence packet must be completed. Brown told officers that Fields used his hands to punch out a window in the house and started yelling at her. She said she thought Fields pointed a handgun at her before shouting, "I should blast you." Fields was then led inside the house by someone in the home, where he continued to yell at Brown. Fields then allegedly punched Brown once in the face with a closed fist. Now, who let him in the house?
Right. Yes.
Oh, I better let him in.
Motherfucker, he's outside. Why you let him in?
The thing, too, man, is I hate that she's not seeing this all the way through. But I understand. She just wanted to go away. You know what I mean? Like, I could see her wanting to just, like, look, I just wanted to be over with. I don't want to deal with him or this situation.
Yeah.
But I'm glad the cop still was like, nope, we doing this report and we doing it the right way.
Right.
It's mandatory in a lot of states.
Right. Like, it's, if they're called, it's mandatory. They don't care about the woman dropping the charges. They don't care anything about that, because a lot of times what happens is that you go back and forth, and you're constantly in court. And next thing you know, the woman's dead or some shit, and they've, you know, been back and forth with the state several times. And I guess my biggest thing, and I talked to this, I've said this before and I will say this again, when it comes to certain crimes, motherfucking police, campus police, fuck that. Put the real authorities in his ass with him and motherfucking arrest it. I don't want no in-house shit. I want the real police call because a real crime was committed.
No, I'm with you. I see why. I can understand why she didn't. I disagree. I feel like she should go through with it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand why she didn't.
Me too. Just being a woman and being fearful and everything. You know, we live in a society where everything's the victim's fault.
That's like, I know of a woman who has a restraining order, against a guy but you know, the restraining orders only allow for like certain distance.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he can't be directly in front of her house, like, he can be across the street, like, a few doors down. It's just far enough to where he's not violating the order. And so he can still watch her go in and out of her place. And, like, say she goes to the grocery store, then if he just follows her to the grocery store and they happen to be in the same grocery store, then there's nothing she can do about it. You know what I mean? And it's things like even if he was, it's just certain things, the restraining order, it sounds like, oh, you know, it's protecting you. It really doesn't.
No.
If they just watch you or follow you long enough, and if it's somebody you've dated or been with, then they know what church you attend, things like that. And you happen to be at church and they happen to be at church, and maybe you go to the restroom at church and they beat your ass in the restroom. It's just how the restraining order doesn't protect you. You know what I mean? Like, it's because you can't call the cops and be like, look, he's violating this restraining order by being here. So I think sometimes, especially with a woman who maybe can't defend herself against a guy that sounds like he's very dangerous, I could see her just being like, you know what? I just don't want to have anything to do with this. I want it to go away.
Because I
want to
move on with my life.
Yep.
Makes sense to me, man.
Yes,
I'm glad that we had the laws in place to make sure that the people get prosecuted anyway.
Right.
NBA free agency roundup. Rashard Lewis needs surgery. Mavericks considering Jameer Nelson. Yeah, Rashard Lewis got a contract voided.
Hey, he tried to pull a fast one, man.
Yep. He was like, oh, got this contract. The ink is fresh. By the way, guys, my knee needs some serious surgery, and I'm going to need it right now.
Wait. What? You?
It's time.
No, hold on. Let's.
It's time.
What's wrong with your knee?
It's time.
What's wrong with your knee, though,
Sean?
H-Town? Now, we noticed over the years you've been signing some very good contracts. You know, teams have honored them. You've been honoring those contracts. Played very well for all the teams, you know, giving your all. But
I hurt my knee.
What's this about your knee?
I hurt my knee a little bit when I went to sign the contract just now. Like, you saw when I leaned over and I kind of, like, grabbed my knee.
No, you were sitting down and we brought the contract to you.
You couldn't see through my arm. Hey, what if this nigga was like trying not to limp the whole time he was in his interview? Like, all right, well, it's just up these stairs. Oh, let's take the elevator.
Yeah, I don't do stairs.
All right, no problem, man. This is our practice facility. You want to get a couple shots up? No, maybe after we sign the contract.
Yeah.
Just sign the contract first, and then we'll go ahead and take care of that right afterwards. All right, no problem, man. Well, here's the showers and everything, and this is our... this is where we stretch people out.
Can we go ahead and get, you know, all this walking? You know, I went for a run this morning.
Yeah. Did you just drop pain pills on the floor? What?
Nah, those muscle relaxers?
I think those are already there.
Yeah, it's not mine. I wasn't even on that side of the room.
It looks like R. Lewis is the name on the bottle. Well, Ray Lewis must really like Must really like these, pills. I don't know how the pain pills got in here. Man, that's crazy coincidence. Crazy. Anyway, I brought my own pen. So if you just want to sign it,
pen.
I can just sign it right now.
He's been stealing money for years, man. I am so glad he finally got caught.
That ski mask fell off.
Right. Man.
Hey, he remember last week we had the dudes that were talking shit about Air Andrew? Yep. Well, remember when I was like, they gonna have to apologize?
Mm-hmm.
He did. The guy called her gutless bitch. But even in his apology, you know, he couldn't help himself.
All right. The PC people out there.
Ken Rosenthal wasn't paying attention.
Ken Rosenthal.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Keith Law. You crossed, you know, the PC crowd.
Well, here's what I'll say. I used a word to reference Aaron Andrews that I shouldn't have used to reference Aaron Andrews. I will completely cop to that. I said it. I admit it. That was a mistake.
Anybody making you cop to this?
No. I shouldn't
have used this.
That's a goddamn lie.
You know it's so.
I don't care if it was his wife, if it was his girlfriend, if it was somebody that passed him in a bar, somebody made him, if it was his boss, someone was like, you get on the air and you clean that shit up.
Right.
Don't tell anybody I told you to, you fucking clean it up. That is disrespectful. We're getting way too many emails and phone calls about you.
Right, because you work for a company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart of hearts.
I just feel like it was the wrong time to use that specific word to describe her.
I will say this.
I think she stinks at her job.
Yep.
I don't think she's very smart. I don't think she comes across as very smart. I think Fox only hired her because she's good looking. I think if she weighed 15 pounds more, she'd be a waitress at Perkins. I mean, that's what I believe. I do believe that. I just do.
He's going to get two front pages.
Just had to go.
Yep, that's.
Yeah, he think that's funny.
Nothing can make a white man just apologize anymore.
Because if that was Barkley and them San Antonio big girl jokes, all of them. Remember, they got on Barkley immediately.
Yeah,
immediately.
They came out and see him, but I don't even think it's the same. Because like calling people fat is one thing, especially when you're fat too. Like there's this kind of like camaraderie of like, yeah, I can say it. You know, it's like saying the N-word if you're black. But this is a little different, man. Like, he called her a gutless bitch, man, for not asking a hard-hitting question at the fucking All-Star game.
He said it. He said it at the wrong time. Not like, that he shouldn't have said
it. And not that he didn't mean it either.
What is the right time to say it? 3 days later? You should never call her a gutless bitch.
What the fuck? Are you calling the dudes that didn't ask the questions?
Man, Red, Boston is a terrible town.
No one mentioned this, but for 3 days, I think we were all on the same page. We talked about the raw deal that Pam Oliver got.
Right.
Pam Oliver is 53.
Oh, here they go. Oh, nigga. Here they go trying to hide behind. Oh, we just taking up for Pam.
Mm-mm.
Nah, you misogynist. Don't, because if Pam wouldn't have asked the question the way y'all wanted, y'all been calling her a bitch too. Probably would have threw black in there.
Right.
You gutless black bitch. Oh, what? Oh, I guess I went too far. Oh, the PC police. Woo, woo, and here they come.
And all y'all Twitter fanboys.
Yeah.
Y'all the ones, but this weave, if they mention her weave, don't, right. Like, oh, now you want to be enraged.
Yeah. Anyway, Pam Oliver, that cunt whore, she was talking the other day.
No disrespect with her fat.
Opening up her stupid bitch lips.
She do got a fat booty, though.
Yeah, she was opening up those big black watermelon lips, and she was talking.
I would love to get some of that
to some people. And
don't tell my wife.
You know, and I said, what kind of question is that, you ghetto hoe?
Hey, once you go black, you never go back.
Uh-huh.
They double bagged her and put her out with the trash.
Correct.
And promoted Aaron Andrews, and that was kind of a discussion we had, like on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday before Kirk, you know, went off the rails. And I.
Oh, so then it was okay. Because while you're questioning her professional ability, you're calling her a gutless bitch, fucking up, and having to apologize for it because you weren't professional.
And they never said what they really said about Pam Oliver,
yeah.
And which I doubt was classful.
Y'all had 3 days to think about it before you got to this point. This is what happens when you do anger radio.
Right.
You just keep harping on angry shit every day until you build up a good lather and you're saying shit like gutless bitch so your bros can high five you on the radio.
And the thing is, he said till such and such went off the rails. I don't recall you checking them. I don't.
Nobody did. They all were like, yeah, man.
I don't recall him.
No, one dude did say something. I remember because I laughed real hard because he said something that was like, he couldn't check them, but he was like, man, that's going to get him going.
Is that the one that looked at his phone, though?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the same one apologizing.
No. I'm talking about the other dude says, you know, I'll play that clip in a second. Hold on.
You can't put it in proper perspective if you're a writer or if you're, you know, Ken Rosenthal. You don't understand. This is a show. We do. We have roles. We have characters.
Yeah, roles to play.
And
these motherfuckers sound just like dude bros in the morning when they was talking shit about us, and I called their ass out, and then all of a sudden it was, hey, you know, we just make these jokes, and you know, hey, we just saying what we. Nah, when you was calling my wife names, it didn't seem that funny to me. I wasn't in on the joke. I didn't pay for this comedy. Definitely. I didn't see a microphone, and you was doing stand up.
It definitely wasn't funny to me.
Yeah, fuck them. And fuck these dudes too, man. Play characters. You know, I don't play characters. Like, I don't ever get off the mic and be like, you know what, man? Today, when I was calling Sarah Palin a cow-faced pig whore, I realized that my character went too far. And the character of Rod didn't mean that. Mm-hmm. Rod, the person, you know, I don't mean it, Dan. The character is a little over the top, guys. He's crazy. He's wacky. Wacky guy.
And a hand's role sometimes is the lunatic who goes off the rails.
Well, I've heard three people.
There was nothing. It wasn't real. It's not real anger at that point. It's you being.
We're having a little bit of fun. But that's
this lunatic.
But they're humorless.
Who just people snaps.
People like Ken Rosenthal and Keith Law and Kevin Paul DuPont are humorless, which is fine. I get it.
Jessica Heslam.
And Jessica Heslam who, and Martha Coakley and all these people are just for every.
Jessica Heslam lamenting the old days when, you know, EEI had class.
Yes.
Remember the old days?
Oh, yeah.
What you did was nothing in the old days. I mean, yeah, that stuff happened, you know, daily. As we know, we don't have, you know, it's not, we don't have nearly the.
You know what else happened in the old
days? You
know,
the freedom.
Racism.
You know what's very funny about this is his defense of this is it used to be worse, but that means you're admitting that it was over the line.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Because y'all don't do that kind of radio anymore because you know that it was wrong.
You know what else used to happen in the old days? We used to have dinosaurs roaming the earth.
Right.
Ah!
With humans.
You know what else used to happen in the old days? Civil wars and things like that going on in America.
Segregation.
You know what else happened in the old days? Native Americans invited pilgrims to a dinner.
Right.
And they end up walking the something of tears?
Yeah,
Trail of Tears. Yeah.
Man,
all those things happened in the old days. Can we do them now?
Right. How's that a justification for anything? The old days were terrible.
Anymore.
True.
I laughed a lot at that. Oh, the old EI. The old EI? You mean, the old.
Also, there was nothing funny about his comment. We listened to it. It wasn't some big ass joke that no one got. It was, you call her a gutless bitch, dog. Like, it was angry and not even trying to be funny a little bit.
Yep.
And now you want to turn it into like, oh, you guys don't get it.
Away from what Derek Jeter has done today or off me or anything. I mean, it was missaid. I made a mistake by that. I hope people realize I'm not intentionally giving up hits out there. I know this game means something, and I'm guessing people think I'm trying to give up home runs to Miguel Cabrera too next. So, no, I mean, I'm very competitive, and I think I said yesterday I did not want Derek Jeter to get a hit. I think I said it today even before I pitched. So. I don't know. It's a distraction, and I did not want to be a distraction. I wanted it to be all for Derek. And so if anything is taken away from his moment, then I sincerely apologize. But that, at no point in my career have I ever gone out and intentionally given up hits.
Well, we appreciate you clearing that up. Don't you love social media?
No, I don't love social media.
What a bitch. Seriously. I hate her. What a gutless bitch. Seriously, go away. Drop dead. Seriously, what the hell is wrong with her? First of all, follow up. Secondly, the guy admitted he did it, and he told reporters that he threw a couple of pipe bombs.
Yeah.
Gita, right? So how is that social media's fault? Seriously,
don't you love so...
Hilarious, right? What a hilarious.
How does he feel about Dan Patrick and his softball interview?
Mm-hmm. What a gutless cracker. Is he going to say that?
Social media.
I hate her. I seriously hate her so much.
Don't you love social media?
Yeah. Boy, if it wasn't for social, if
social, what is social media is the reason she has a big house.
Right,
shut up.
I should call her a bitch. I'm sure she's a nice person, but she's
she's probably a bitch.
I friggin' hate her.
Yeah, they didn't call him out. Yeah, she's probably a bitch.
Well, next time you have the runs, don't forget probiotics.
Don't you love social? We're in this together, Adam. Don't you love social media? What? We're friends, right?
Don't you love social media?
I'm not going to follow up, Adam.
I got a follow-up question for you, bubblehead. What does social media have to do with it? Honest to God, social media at times, I agree, fans the flames. What does it have to do with this?
No, you said it to beat right.
You said it to a big group of reporters, I believe. Yeah.
It was somebody like knocking 20, at the window. 20. Check your phone.
Yep, somebody at the window. You can see him looking.
Check your
in
phone.
The hallway, and somebody looked pointed towards his phone, like, "Look at your phone."
Check
your
phone.
Yeah.
And he said, "I served."
He's looking at his phone right now.
A couple of pipe bombs.
No. That's
pipe balls.
That's Afghanistan.
I don't believe that's what he did. Yeah.
And this bimbo says,
"Don't you love social media?"
So you have to ask yourself.
I'm gonna get in trouble for this.
Yes. You're looking at that phone.
I told you nobody ever checked him on it. They was knocking at the window.
Right.
Holding the phone up at the window. Check your phone.
Right. You know that producer immediately was like, nope. Somebody got a phone call. Somebody got an email.
They ran down they was on the 10th floor. What? He was on the third. Ran down the steps.
You know they kept
fuck that elevator. They ran down the steps. Beating on the window.
Right.
Check your motherfucking phone right now.
And you know the main thing is you can't say this shit about no pretty ass white woman.
Right.
You could have said that about Pam. Hell, they might have been saying that for 3 days about Pam.
Right. Yep. But and the other dude
she
called
got
up,
what she deserved getting off prime time. What is she doing out there with them whack ass weeds?
Right. And the other dude called her bimbo. Bimbo can let roll.
Yep. And a bubblehead. All these are bad.
Right.
All these are bad misogynistic turns against women
but
for this angry white man radio.
And that was it.
I mean, saw a player have to retract his "these hoes ain't loyal, stay in the kitchen."
Yeah, it's just that.
Might as well said cunt.
Yeah, it's just that angry misogynistic white man radio they do. So
that's why I can't listen to it. Like Terry said,
nobody misses the old days more than a white man.
Nope, nobody.
Big Show, the old
Dale and Eddie,
the old Dennis and Callahan, the time that you had the stripper light herself on fire?
I was not even in the country.
Those days?
Yeah, that was...
Oh, those good old days.
Yeah.
The place had class.
Now, I think there were people, I would guess there were some women, probably, who were legitimately offended by the word. I guess. That's fine. For every person who was offended...
I guess.
I think there were nationally 5,000 who were pretending to be offended.
Yes.
I mean, I just, it's what I think.
Pretending to be offended. Because it's impossible to be... Actually say, that's disgusting what you just did, dog. Everybody has to be pretending because you're actually right and everyone's wrong.
You notice how he's a lot calmer now? Before he was screaming at the top of his lungs, that gutless
text.
Bitch.
He won't lose that job.
Maybe I'm wrong, and I think that sort of got a national thing, the local versus national.
Well, you're right.
They used another word.
Yeah, it was a dumb word.
For real. I think he...
Hey, y'all talking over the clip, man, but go ahead. I stopped it.
Oh, I think he peeking over at that window. That dude tapping on that window like, nigga, shut up. And he looking like, what? Huh? Huh? Y'all still tapping? Like, he's not responding, but he keep looking over. And I think that's part of that man putting them big ass signs going.
I don't think anyone's standing at the window now. I think now he's looking to see if anyone is going to stand at the window. Is this good enough? Is this good enough? Did I just fuck up again?
Yes, you did.
Are they listening upstairs?
Maybe I'm wrong, and I think that sort of got a national thing, the local versus national.
No, you're right. If you used another word.
Yeah, it was a dumb word.
If you used another word, nothing comes of it. Nothing. I mean, in fact, maybe there is some attention.
Your job is to use words, fellas.
Right.
Come on now. I really do hate when people do that. I'm a professional word user at this point. I know the power of words. I know which ones I'm like, yep, that's inflammatory, and that was couched in a way that might make people mad. We've discussed words on here, like the word insecure and how I use it a little differently than other people because I don't use it to try to like always to cut down. Like sometimes,
right.
And then sometimes I do use it to cut down, but it's all context. I know how I'm using it. I don't get surprised when we get that email or that one-star review. I'm like, yeah, that's one of those people that took offense.
Mm-hmm. To the fact that Aaron Andrews is in over her head,
yes.
Pam Oliver got screwed.
So if you said gutless reporter,
yeah, right, I should have.
Motherfuckers, why y'all try to act like it's the same? He said bitch on purpose for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, these motherfuckers.
I got no problem saying I screwed up using that word. Everything else, I'm okay with, including, I think some people think that I wish Aaron Andrews would really die because I said drop dead, which is something I use conversation.
You tell me that all the time.
That's how you know people are posing, when they think drop dead means you mean it literally.
Right.
I'm all on board with that. The word I use is a bad word. I'm a dummy for using it in the wrong context. Totally fine. I'm with you on that. The drop dead thing, I think, is a joke. I can't get behind it. I won't apologize for it.
Okay. Yeah, he had to try to save it somehow. Like, you know, it's not the same. Fred Davis, speaking of treating women horribly, he had a horrible February, but his year seems to be getting worse. A woman filed a complaint saying that June 2nd he harassed her while she was out with a friend at a diner. DC police have a warrant out for him. According to the complaint, who's Davis's ex-girlfriend, the tight end allegedly made fun of her ass and threw dirt at her. The complainant went to a ketchup to get a ketchup bottle to squirt Davis, but someone stopped her. After more arguing, Davis left. A few moments after arriving at the location, Davis approached the complainant from behind, placed his hands on her shoulder, turned her around approximately 180 degrees so that her backside was facing her friend, at which time Davis stated to the complainant's friend, "Why you with her? She doesn't have an ass." While the complainant and her friend were standing together, Davis said, "I'm going to slap you because you faking. Your friend looks like 2 Chainz.
That's the best line of the night.
So she was with another dude, and this nigga got mad
he tried to grab her butt in front of him. Like, yeah, this used to be mine.
Yeah, what a petty ass thing to do, man. Like, whatever, dog.
What a gutless bitch.
Yeah, you gutless bitch.
Gutless, you bimbo, you.
Yeah.
Maybe some things I said about him.
Yeah.
He could take it the wrong way. I can see how he would take it the wrong way.
Yeah. You know what? But if you wouldn't have used the term nigger fag, would have just used any other term to explain why you didn't like him, people would have been okay. And that's how you know people are full of shit, Justin.
Well, you know, it was the character of Justin. It wasn't Justin. It was the character.
We get on here all the time and we play characters sometimes, and the characters say things like, you know, nigger fat cunt, and it just happens. And the character, when you're done, you get out of character, you get back to work.
Yep.
Maria Karolinko dumped Alex Ovechkin on Instagram, over an Instagram photo that he took. So, Maria, can you comment on the story about the pictures with Sasha and the gymnast Caroline, Russian last name, on social networks, which are being so vigorously discussed in the media? Believe me, over the years I've seen so many pictures of Sasha in the company of young ladies that I've gotten used to it. That is normal. We are public figures and people often want to take pictures with us. This is the first time I heard about this girl, and I made my decision to break up the engagement long before those pictures appeared on the social network. It is laughable to point at them as the main reason behind the breakup. Oh, she lying.
Mm-hmm.
This is way too much detail. After 3 years together, couples do not break up over a couple of pictures. There are so much more significant reasons. I will not go into any more details on them. But let's just say it's not a secret for anybody that Sasha has certain habits and particulars of behavior that I did not consider worth tolerating anymore.
Tolerating them that she thought he was going to change?
3 years. 3 years.
You think it was drugs? Had to be drugs. Steroid usage. That's what she didn't want to tolerate anymore.
I think it's just she out here lying.
Was that inflammatory? I take that back.
Yeah. You know, she broke up with him over Instagram photos. What a gutless whore pig.
You know, mm-hmm. Here's the thing, too, though.
When
are y'all going to start taking things back and start breaking up with dudes over Instagram? Like, just be like, post pictures of you and your new boyfriend and be like, I'm broken up with such and such now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all got to stop letting all the men have all the fun.
Mark Cuban got his hip replaced.
He old. Wow.
So if I ever see him limping down the street, he's going to have a hard time limping the other way.
I'm crossing the street if he come.
Nah. I'm going to make him cross the street. I'm going to make him limp his ass over there. Go on, boy. Do it faster. You scared of me.
I want to cross the street and yell things at him like, look, a scary white man. with a dangerous limp like Frankenstein.
Hey man, my man Blake Griffin out here balling though.
I used to follow that lady on Instagram.
You did? Yep. Oh, and you never even told me about it? I see.
You wasn't
dog.
On Instagram then.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Roger was kind of slow to Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, him and a bunch of NBA players really love this 6'7 burlesque dancer who takes pictures with a bunch of NBA stars.
Yeah, so at something house that she take it at out in, I think it's California, Las Vegas.
Amazon Ashley is a person that we were not aware of until today. She's 6'7" dancer, best known for touring with Miley Cyrus, but she is also known for other things. Oh, she was the one that was twerking. Okay, one of those things happens to be a boozy photos with NBA players, mostly Blake Griffin.
No, she's been out. She's been taking pictures for years. I think it's Bleacher House or something like that.
Beecher's Madhouse, yep. A Hollywood club that features burlesque shows, costume little people, and all kinds of other weird shit. It's also a good place to get your picture taken next to Amazon Ashley's breast.
She got mad pictures with her and them pasties. With
Blake in a lot of these pictures, dog. Just like, he in like five of these joints.
That look like they at a house right there.
Yo, he definitely fucked Amazon Ashley, bro. Now Joe Kim Noah got a picture with her.
She got a lot. I'm telling you, she's been taking her pictures for years.
Why Greg Oden always looks sad in all his pictures?
Always.
He was smiling right there.
Yep. DeAndre Jordan, Tom Jones. Man, she.
It's a lot. It's more than that.
Them titties get along. Them titties get around.
Don Cheadle. I've seen Don. I think that's why I started following. I think I saw a post with her and Don Cheadle. And I was like, oh, I need to follow her on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan now. I need to follow Amazon Ashley. Get into them. What's up with them titties up to? All right, man. I think we covered that. Michael Jordan put his $33 million contract on auction, or I think the Chicago Bulls did it. They put it on the auction block. It's the most expensive contract for 1 year in NBA history. So, yeah, I don't know who would buy this, but the bidding has already topped $28,000.
Why would you want a sheet of paper?
It's a sheet of paper. You don't get the contract money, people. Do y'all understand? What a gutless bitch. What a gutless bitch. To buy MJ's contract.
What Jewish nigger cunt.
Yeah. What
bimbo.
What a Jewish kike.
What bubblehead.
Jesus Christ. Wow. But
why would they? You know you could just print out the picture of it.
You know PDF what? Oh, man. I just looked at my phone. You know what, guys? Maybe I went too far. I should not have said kike. If I were to use any other word than kike, cunt, whore.
Maybe those people just don't have a sense of humor.
If I would have actually just used the word to describe him, such as auctioneer or bidder, maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
No, those people just don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah. I will not apologize for when I said nigger, though.
In the good old days of the show, you have done way worse. Yeah. Okay.
Mayweather. He has some things to say. Mayweather, motherfucker, in your face.
But one thing I can say is, his manager done a hell of a job to put this fight together again. He did. He do have a remarkable team. I take my hat off to his team. He do have a remarkable team. But of course.
Now, is Maidana the dude whose father was at the press conference saying that Mayweather was a woman beater?
Mm-hmm. He's a woman beater, man. Okay. He's a woman beater. Nobody respect this woman beater. We're going to kick this woman beater's ass, man.
All right.
Fucking woman beater.
All right, hold on.
About entertainment, and like I said before, I'm not making 70 and 80 by not doing the right things. I know what I'm doing. So of course, like I said before, I'm gonna bring you to the big dance again, once again. I mean, and please, I want to have sex after my fight is over. So please don't hit me on my dick. No homo. He was touching my dick more than my woman was.
Oh, get him. Translate for him.
Yeah, let him know. Let him know.
Get him.
Let him know.
Boy, don't play with him.
And of course, I'm up for a spar partner for September 13th. You mind being my spar partner? Yeah. DC.
What's up, man?
All work is what?
Easy work!
All work is what?
Easy work!
It's right here, man. It's right here.
Yes, sir. Easy work.
I mean, I just think about how I've been in this sport about 18 years. I've been champion about 17 years. And you know, I'm so... Don't talk to me about that, bitch.
Talk about Tiny.
What are these folks hollering in the background? Did you hear them?
Did they say she had Marquez problems?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Got Marquez, but now it's easy work.
Hey, easy work. He's still sleeping, Floyd. He's still sleeping.
Y'all see that easy work, don't y'all? What point to it?
Right there. Oh! Oh! Got the
kids in.
Damn it.
Dude, this is a press conference?
Isn't that the other fighter right there beside him?
Yes. That's what he said. He kept saying, all work is, it's a easy work. Then he said, point to the easy work. And he pointed at Marquez. Or Madonna, or whatever. What are they even hype about? I'm trying to hear what he said. You can't hear it.
He said Tiago and Marquez. See, somebody yelled out, what about T.I.?
Oh, he said, what about the bitch? Okay. He said, I'm fucking his bitch. Yep. I'm fucking his bitch.
Oh, they feel like they get the pussy through.
So like I said before.
Yeah, did they
that's
get
so,
some?
That's so crumb. You
they get
think
some
so?
Residual pussy.
That's how they hype. Like they was fucking. Like I'd be like, okay, good for him, but I'm not that hype.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like good for you.
My deal is still on the table.
Way to break up a happy home.
In New York City, you believe in your skills and you believe in your talent. Bet your purse.
All right, man. And last thing, before we get to Kobe, Ray Rice suspended for just 2 games. 2.
That's the dude that popped that woman, right?
Yep.
Not that woman, his wife.
The NFL will have you believe that, you know, it was a big time suspension. Yeah, it's really not.
The woman he never really truly apologized to.
And did that awkward ass press conference.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he apologized to his fans, the owners,
team. Everybody
team,
but her.
Everybody but her, because she knows.
She knows she did.
What she did.
So, yep. Just, you know, can't even say I'm surprised.
But good luck in life, ladies. Boy, I tell you, boy, y'all women that actually aren't going through this, I commend y'all. No.
Man,
like y'all lucked out in life, because I don't know how you avoid some of the shit y'all had, the other women had to deal with. Because this seemed like everybody has to go through it. Apparently, yeah. There's so many stories.
It depends, because a lot of women do, but then it's funny though, because there are good men out there, but a lot of women have to deal with this and don't.
If I was a woman, I'd be a lesbian. No way I'm dealing with this shit.
Yeah. Because women don't hit on other women.
They do
not. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba.
Hey, Kobe.
Paul Gasol said it was difficult informing Kobe Bryant that he was going to join the Bulls.
He was scared.
It was difficult, he told reporters, when asked about informing Brian of his decision to sign with the Bulls. We have a close friendship. We've been through a lot together, and I'm sure I will miss him, but we talk to each other, and our relationship goes beyond basketball. We'll always have a friendship. Kobe said, no, we won't. It was difficult to talk to him, but he was very supportive, and he understood, but just said I had to do what was best for me and what felt right for me, and he was going to support me no matter what. That's what friends and brothers do, and that's what we are. Mm-hmm. Kobe, being a leader, being a good teammate, not leaving his man to twist in the wind.
I don't think Kobe cares.
I don't think he does either.
Well, I already told you.
Kobe used to be in a
Kobe was like, I got my 25.
Right.
Yeah, Kobe was like, get your money.
Get yours.
How long did the Bulls trade him?
Who?
Powell.
Oh, yeah.
After this season?
Yeah, he'd be out.
Trade during the middle of this season?
After the playoffs, after he comes up short. And Kobe Bryant talks about Trayvon Martin.
Staying here as a basketball player, dealing with adversity, with the Achilles injury, and if you're too old, you can come back and play. You know, those are all pressures that we as athletes deal with. Those are challenges that we deal with. And when you look at those challenges in a vacuum, they feel like they're the most important, the most significant things in the world that are going on when you look at them in isolation. However, when you step outside of that, you look at Sabrina, Tracy, what they had to go through as a family, and what they've come out of, that's true adversity, and that's responding to true conflict and being true inspirations. And what they're doing now, telling that story, I believe, is absolutely phenomenal, because those are stories that need to be told. And players such as myself and others who have kind of the platform, our responsibility is more than putting the ball in the basket, but it's helping them have the platform to be able to
get louder. Can the volume get louder?
For the kids that are here, the one thing that I will say is find your passion. Find what you are absolutely passionate about. And it takes some searching. It takes some, you know, experimenting, whether it's writing or photography or whatever the case may be. Find what you're passionate about. And the reason why that is so important is because once you find what you're passionate about, everything else in your life lines up. Everything makes sense. You wake up in the morning and you have an absolute purpose of what you're here to do and what you're here to accomplish. So I challenge all the young people here and the adults here to help the next generation find what they're passionate about. And then it becomes our responsibility to guide them and mentor them along the way so they can accomplish great things and wind up changing the world. It starts with us. So I'm not going to keep you guys any longer. Thank you so much for having me here. And have a blessed day. Thank you.
I don't think we can end on any greater words than that right there, man. Go find your passion, everybody. And, you know, that's how you find your happiness and recognize what true adversity is, guys. All right. So, thanks for coming out and listening to, the Balls Deep Sports. Karen, Justin, thank y'all. Appreciate y'all this Thursday.
Thank you for having me.
And, we'll be back next week. Peace.